This week, Sony's next console announcement is actually a new console, not a refresh, not a remote service, no change of course. Hope you wanted to buy a new TV. We'll tell you what to start saving up for, as well as the rest of the week's gaming news, starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight, episode number 773 for this April the 21st of 2019. My name is Rob Roberts, and joining me, as usually is the case, in studio here, Techmaster Loki.
Yes, I'm here.
You're here. Not here tonight, Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers. She has the night off. She is doing some Easter events with the charity organization she works with, the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. She's in San Francisco today. It's a big day for them because I think it's the 40th anniversary, so I think there's a lot going on. So she'll be back with us next week, but it's just Loki and myself here in the studio, along with all of you guys who watch us, because we do tape live every Sunday night at the Voice of Geeks Network. And you can follow along at twitch.tv/VOG Network, and we come on at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Black Wolf show. How you doing, Loki?
I'm fine.
Yeah? Good week?
Yeah. I've been suffering outside because, you know.
Oh, like allergies?
Yeah, because there's just pollen everywhere.
Yeah.
I've always been sick for 2 weeks with different things, mm-hmm. And
she and keeps... all the trees are in bloom that smell like
yes,
sex.
And
yes, the sex trees.
I don't know if they That's, smell like sex.
It's a, they... It's, no, they smell like... it's a thing. You,
All right.
You don't know until you know. I'm just saying.
Yes, because I've never had sex before. Ever.
Wait a minute. Don't you have kids? Maybe the stork is real. Anyway, topic change. Easter. Did you guys do anything for Easter?
We did stuff for Easter, like on Thursday.
Okay. Well, that's not Easter.
Easter enough.
It was with the same, we're just going to hide the eggs.
Well, it's
early.
Because like they did like a thing at their school that they're at, so they did an Easter egg hunt there, and then we went over to my mom's house and they did Easter eggs or a hunt there because my cousin or my niece is with her dad on the weekends or this weekend, so they couldn't get together for that, and also because my mom's birthday is this weekend, so she's gonna be out of town for that, so everybody just did stuff on Thursday instead.
Okay, so it's not like one of those things like when I was younger my mom would say, you know, you got to be good or Santa's not going to bring presents or whatever, and then suddenly on December 23rd all the presents from Santa are just suddenly under the tree, and I'm like, but I thought Santa didn't come till Christmas Eve, and my mom would just be like, well, I guess he came early. This is kind of like,
do you want your gifts or not?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, shut up. Stop asking questions.
I think she said that 1 year. I think she said, you want me to send them back?
You're right. This is a mistake. Let me throw these away.
Anyway. All right. Let's get into some gaming news and gaming talk. Because, of course, we are here to talk about video games on Sunday nights for 2 hours, 3 hours, however long we feel like it. We're not bound by time constructs here on OLR. We go as long as we feel like it with you guys in our chat. Some would say too long. You know how? Do you know how many a podcast panel I've attended where it's like, well, you know, you should strive to make your podcast 1 hour long. 1 hour is a good length for podcasts. And I'm like, who came up with that? Who invented that? Why 1 hour? When this show
started.
Well,
you see, that's all the funds we have in our Patreon to support. And if we don't have the money, we can't do the podcasting. So therefore, 1 hour is all that we can muster.
I see.
If only we had the more money.
Our Audible.com and HelloFresh or whatever those things are, sponsorships, only are able to let us go for an hour tonight. No. When we originally started this show 17 years ago at this point, it was more modeled off of a like Sirius XM type of show or a, you know, satellite radio type of show. And usually those shows, believe it or not, are about 3 hours long. Now, granted, back in the day, we used to take music breaks because, you know, this was a show based on music games. So we actually took music breaks. But we had to get rid of those because of copyright reasons quite some time ago, around the time we went into a podcast form. So, yeah, it's a new show now. But we can still look back on things and memories. And one of the things people are looking back on today, and I didn't even realize that this was having a birthday today and turning this age, but the Nintendo Game Boy turns 30 today. It's actually April 21st, the day we're recording, was the Japanese release of the Game Boy. We didn't have to wait that long for it here in the States, though. Europe had to wait because it's very clear that Nintendo hates you, Europe. I'm sorry. I don't write the rules. I just report them. But Europe got it like the next year. We got it, I think, in like August of that year. So, you know, all things considered, though, the Game Boy is 30 years old. So I'm curious from you, as well as folks in our chat room over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork, did you own a Game Boy?
No, I never did.
You never owned a Game Boy?
No, the only thing I owned that was of the Game Boy family was I had purchased a used Game Boy Advance that I briefly played. I still have it, but just a regular Advance, not the good kind with a backlit screen, no, the kind that you need, like a flashlight, you know, attachment.
I actually had a friend that modded my Game Boy Advance like that. Like, you could put a back screen in it, and that's like technology and things I don't do very well. But he, like, for my birthday one year, he like modded it. That was pretty cool.
Yeah,
so my Game Boy Advance is special wherever it is because I haven't touched.
I mean, I played the Game Boy. I played my friend's Game Boy.
Okay,
but I never owned one. Although, I mean, it wouldn't say I wouldn't purchase like a Game Boy Classic Edition if they were to do that.
Do you remember any of the games on Game Boy that you enjoyed?
Super Mario Land, mm-hmm. Tetris, obviously. Yeah. I played Metroid 2. Mm. That's pretty much it. I didn't play any of the Pokemon games.
Not bad for someone who didn't even own a Game Boy. I got one. See, the reason why I thought it was like next year is because I thought I was 12 when I got one. But I guess because I seem to remember I got one not long after they were out. I think I got it that holiday. So I think they came out in like August. And I think I got one for Christmas that year. And mine came with Super Mario Land and Alleyway. Remember Alleyway? All Alleyway was basically just Breakout. It was Breakout. I don't remember. Did they try to do like the capsule drops like they do in Arkanoid? I think there might have been like a little bit of that.
Yeah.
But
maybe.
I don't think it was a very, like, you know, very full version of that game. But obviously, I played a crap load of Super Mario Land. This is going to be like a real deep dive. You guys ready? So I loved the music in Super Mario Land so much that one year, myself and my friends were participating in this thing called Odyssey of the Mind. Have you ever heard of this? There's going to be like one or two people out there that'll know exactly what this is and be like, oh my fucking God, Odyssey of the Mind. So it was this thing. It was like, it was the Olympics for smart people is basically what it was. It was the thing that gifted and talented
I was just thinking when you said Odyssey of the Mind, it made me think of like Journey to the Mind's Eye thing, those stupid like early like the computer graphics set to like music things that they had. Like, it's like, oh hey, I remember that from Lawnmower Man. That's a thing that they had.
So you had like these different competitions and all these teams would be made at different schools. So I'm really trying to keep this short. So we had like an elementary school, and I remember one year we did a play about like Greek gods. I think I've told this one on the show before, but one year we did, you had to make a structure out of balsa wood that would hold as much weight as possible. You would put as much weight as you could on the balsa wood structure, which is probably a thing that they do in like Boy Scouts and stuff too. It's a pretty common.
Yeah,
kind of
we
like
did in our engineering
construction
class. Yeah.
Type of challenge. But it wasn't just about how you put the structure together. It was about the presentation. So we actually put our thing together. And yes, this is a Game Boy story. I'm getting there. So we actually put the structure together and we did the presentation and we did an ancient Egypt style presentation. So we were all dressed up like, you know, like Cleopatra and people that you would see in, you know, like books and pictures from that time and all that stuff. And so we did this whole thing. And for the music, get this, I learned how to patch my Game Boy into my tape recorder to actually record the music off my Game Boy. And we used the dungeon music. So for anybody that's ever played Super Mario Land and knows that dungeon music, that's like that do 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 do. It sounds very like stereotypical, like ancient Egypt, because I think you're actually in like that type of like dungeon sort of thing. We actually recorded that music and we used that music. But because there was like a little like, so when the recording would stop and loop over, like it made like a little like crack in it. So what we did is that we had like, I don't know, I think the one girl we had in our group, we dressed her up as Cleopatra. She would crack the whip every time that little crack happened in the recording. Isn't this ridiculous? These are the things that like 12-year-olds do. So anyway, but that is that would not have happened if it wasn't for the Game Boy and the music specifically, because the Game Boy, the music in that thing was actually kind of, because it had the full real stereo sound. You remember you could plug in, the NES didn't have stereo sound, but the Game Boy did. You plug in the left and rights and, you know, you'd get that full stereo experience, which I think Super Nintendo ended up doing later on. So there it is. I noticed in chat, VidPowers573 says, Game Boy Tetris was my jam, and I'm sure lots of other people's jam as well. Oh, Gosh, yes. I mean, Game Boy Tetris was like the game. That was like of that era when the Game Boy first came out. That was like your Minecraft or something like that. Like that was the game everybody was talking about. And the game that was kind of breaking through to pop culture and making video games something that wasn't just for basement nerds and, you know, your stereotypical nerds and things like that.
Yeah.
So Tetris really broke through, and a lot of people that may otherwise not necessarily play games were playing Game Boy Tetris. And in this, you know, very kind of Nintendo way, because I mean, I mentioned that my Game Boy, I got Super Mario Land in Alleyway, but of course the pack-in game was Tetris, right?
Yeah.
Everybody had Tetris. And that was important because Nintendo has been very good about picking the right pack-in game to sell off their console many times. They haven't done it all the time, obviously. Like this, I don't think the Switch came with a game, right? I mean, it launched with a stellar title, but it wasn't a pack-in game.
They tried to get 1-2 Switch to be the game.
Oh, well, we don't talk about that anymore.
They're still selling that for $50. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? I'm never buying it for that much.
So, but
$5,
Nintendo,
never.
You know what? Nintendo sold 11 billion Switches, so maybe they've just found a different model for it now. But I remember, you know, the NES, like Mario Brothers, or Super Mario Brothers, was like, and Duck Hunt, you know, those were great packing games. Duck Hunt was great at showing off the laser shoot, or the, you know, the light gun. No, it wasn't really a laser, but light gun. Even though I think Hogan's Alley was a better game. Just saying. Don't at me. And then what, the Super Nintendo, was that packed in with Mario World?
Yeah.
I remember. I think it was. And that was obviously one of like the all-time greatest.
But then they also had the Super Scope 6 bundle that you could do, I think.
Oh, I think that was later. Super Scope 6 didn't come out until a couple years after the launch of the system.
Wasn't it like Mario World, Dr. Mario, and or they didn't have Dr. Mario?
No, there was like an Mario All-Stars later. But anyway.
Oh, yeah.
And then, of course, there was the Wii and Wii Sports, which, again, that I think the Wii and Wii Sports is the closest analogy to the Game Boy and Tetris because people weren't buying a Wii for the Wii. They were buying it to play Wii Tennis.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people were buying the Game Boy at the time to play Tetris because that was everywhere at that time. And, you know, in many ways still is as – Tetris is in some ways experiencing a renaissance thanks to things like Tetris Effect and Tetris 99 and even, you know, deeper cuts on the internet and the fandom behind things like the Grandmaster and stuff like that. So, you know, Tetris obviously is huge. But that was a big thing on the Game Boy. Link cable, right? You could actually play against your friends, and it made Tetris a competitive game, which it really wasn't before because most people hadn't experienced the Tengen Tetris game. That's just the reality. I know probably many of you know all about that and how it did have a versus mode, but for the most part, because of Nintendo shutting that down fast, most people that weren't aware of that. So it really wasn't until the Game Boy Tetris that, you know, that was everywhere. But some other games I remember on the Game Boy, I remember a pinball game that I used to play with my friend that we used the link cable on all the time called Revenge of the Gator. We played the shit out of that game. And that was – it had a versus mode in it where, like, the – it was supposed to be a pinball table that, like, you were supposed to imagine it was, like, a tent type of thing where it slid. And so you could knock the ball so much it would actually go on the other side. Kind of like air hockey, I guess, but like a pinball table. And so that game was a lot of fun. I liked that game a lot. And then I didn't get into Pokemon when it first came out, but when they did a bundle later on that they – I think the first Game Boy Color I ended up buying was the Pikachu Game Boy Color where when you turned it on, the little power light was his cheeks. Because adorable, right? So I bought that, and then that either came with Pokemon Yellow or it was really cheap to get them both. So I bought that years later when I was in college. So, but I have good memories of the Game Boy.
Mm-hmm.
Even if, you know, you were talking about with the Game Boy Advance, the lighting, right? You could not play those things in the dark. And they sold little, like, did you ever have, like, oh, you didn't own a Game Boy. Did you ever see anybody that had,
no,
like,
I saw that in the magazines.
Those, like, mirrors. With like
the magnifying glass thing with the additional speakers on the sides and the light. Yeah, I saw the pictures.
I love this story from Mir Muse in our chat at Twitch.tv/VogNetwork. My mom is 80. Yesterday, she was telling me about a game on her phone where different colored shapes fall from the sky and you fill in lines and they disappear. She just discovered Tetris. I love that, though. That's cute. And it also goes to show the staying power of such a, like, simple concept. Like, Tetris is to video games like what chess is to board games, I think, in many ways. Like, it's – or checkers or something. I mean, yeah. I guess not everybody necessarily knows how to play chess. It is a little more complicated. But – or maybe a better analogy would be something like, I don't know, like blackjack or basic five-card poker is to a deck of cards. Like – everybody kind of experiences that one at some point, right?
Yeah.
Whereas maybe not necessarily everybody plays something like, you know, cribbage with a deck of cards. You got to really find or learn. Or what's the one with the specialized deck? Pinochle. You ever play Pinochle?
No.
Not a lot of people have.
Because I'm not elderly.
See, my grandparents taught me how to play all these games.
You're not helping the argument.
But not everybody necessarily knows things like, oh, I don't know, Far Cry 5 or, you know, those types
of
games.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing with, like, even, like, Far Cry 5. Like, now that we bring it up, and I was complaining about it on Bobby's show.
I picked the wrong game to pick on.
It's so, like, you know, we're talking about games getting better and better graphics and stuff, and that's kind of what the industry seems to be trying to do to push things forward. But, like, Far Cry, it's been the same damn game for, like, the last three or four games. It's been the same damn game. Just, like, reskinned in a different theme, and it's the same thing all over again. It's the Match 3 equivalent of the FPS genre, I guess.
Or Madden, which everybody jokes is roster update, which is why EA tries so hard to show, hey, here's what we're doing in like the single-player campaign and all these other features. Then everybody yells at EA for, why are you showing off all this bullshit when we just want to play football?
Well, Madden is the only football game, period, that you can buy, so...
Well, it's the only official NFL, because what, Mutant Football League is a football game, right? You know where I'm going. Yeah, that's what I thought. All right, anyway. So I don't know, anything else to say about the Game Boy? I mean, if you think about it, the Game Boy is really like the derivatives that we have to today with the 3DS or even in some ways mobile phones. You know, I've seen, and I don't know why I don't have one, but I've seen so many cases for mobile phones that look like Game Boys. You know, because honestly, the shape is not, I mean, Game Boys are kind
they
of
even
rocks.
Have,
they heavy.
They have a thing heavy. That works with the Game Boy emulators. They can actually plug your phone into that
looks like a Game Boy.
And it has the buttons and everything. So
yeah, that's silly, but yeah. Fun. Yeah, no, it's cool.
I mean, it probably costs the same amount as buying a Game Boy, but yeah.
You think Nintendo will do a Game Boy Classic at some point?
I'm sure they could. That's a little bit more engineering because they can't just use the same thing that they were using for the SNES Classic and stuff like that because, well, that is powerful enough to run it. You have to run it off battery now and fit it into the size that it would be. So I don't know if they would do that or maybe just skip ahead to like a Game Boy Advance, Game Boy Color. I don't know.
VidPower573 in chat says that feeling of not being able to see the Game Boy screen at nighttime when in a car, except under a street lamp. Yes, I know that feel very well. But you know, they encouraged people at the time not to play in the car because I guess it's supposed to make you sick or you're more prone to motion
sickness.
Yeah,
you can get motion sick.
I mean, I guess that's technically still a thing today.
Yes, it is.
But I don't know if it's just a thing that like we condition kids at a younger age. Like, I don't know. Have you done this to your kids where like you're driving to the broccoli farm? Okay, right? And are we there yet? Are we there? Are we there? Shut up and watch this.
No, they had screens the entire time. And the way down, they were fine. On the way back, my youngest son threw up because he got car sick.
Because I was going to think maybe we're just conditioning him at a younger age. But
No. It can happen. It can still happen. Okay. But they somehow, though, on the way back, we've done it before. Like, we've driven down to the Bay Area, and they've been fine. So that's why I thought, they were fine this time. They are fine when we came up. You know, they should be fine going back. But for whatever reason, like, he said that he was not feeling well, or he knew he wasn't feeling well, but he didn't say anything until it was too late. Because if he said, like, I don't feel well, I would have said, put your screens away right now, and I would open the window or something for him. But, like, he waited too long, and he made himself sick, so.
Yikes. Yeah. Some other folks in chat confessing they've been motion sick as well. YYR saying, I definitely got motion sick playing Game Boy games. SG100 Matt saying, oh, yeah, I discovered car sickness playing Game Boy in the car. That never happened to me. The only time I ever got motion sick was when I was on a boat. Because I went on a cruise at a younger age, which is funny because now I'm going to be going on a cruise for the very first time in my adult life early next year. But everybody's already telling me about, like, there's this patch and there's like a wrist. So there's already all these tricks people are telling me, like, to prepare
for. And I don't know if, like, modern, like, cruise ships rock as much.
Yeah, it's probably not. I mean, the boat we were on in the 80s was a boat. Like, it was a boat. We'll leave it at that. And I seem to remember doing other things, like, I don't know if you ever did these weird type of trips in school, but I remember in like sixth grade, we spent the night on a boat in like the San Francisco Bay.
No, never did that.
I remember something like that.
But
yeah,
I remember there was one time though, I did take a, we were taking a ferry to Alcatraz and I felt seasick on that. I didn't get sick, but I felt nauseous on that one.
Yeah, I've done those. I've done like the ferry to Victoria Island in Canada.
But
too.
Like, I've also taken a ferry around, like, everything, and I was fine. But I think the difference was the ferry to Alcatraz, I was inside, whereas, you know, going there just around Alcatraz, I was outside in the, like, so I think the air probably did, you know, you can detect the motion a little bit better, maybe. Mm. Whereas when you're inside, you think it's supposed to be like flat, but it's really rocking suddenly, and so it throws you off. I don't know. But I normally don't get like sick on boats either, but I haven't been on a cruise ship before, so I don't know.
Well, I'm sure it'll be fine. And even Bobby's in chat saying you're gonna be fine. No, I'm sure I'll take the precaution. I'll get the little bracelet and have some because I'd rather buy the Dramamine cheap in advance.
Oh,
than
yeah,
try to buy it
that,
on a boat.
Yeah, my wife, she took that going down to the we took it we bought it going down, and she took some of that, and she's like, oh yeah, I feel great after taking this stuff. So that's the way to go.
Interesting. All right. Well, I'll be prepared. There's nothing wrong with that, right? Anyway, I don't know how we got from Game Boy discussion to that, but we did. I actually had two kickoff topics tonight because obviously we have the Game Boy celebrating an anniversary, but today is also Easter for many people celebrating the Easter holiday today. So happy Easter to those that are indulging in the holiday today. But of course, Easter, the funny thing is when you kind of think about video games and the word Easter and something that's kind of synonymous with Easter, Easter eggs, that definitely means something in the gaming world, right? That means hidden gems, hidden little things that you love in video games, little secrets. Probably to kind of start off, and I'm going to ask, of course, what are some of your favorite Easter eggs that you've come across in video games or something you'd like to show off or what have you. And of course, one of the first one was way back on the Atari 2600, a game called Adventure, where you played a hero that was noted by a little yellow square that would go around. And I'm sorry I wasn't able to get B-roll video in time today, but I had a very busy weekend. But you played this little yellow square that went around and, went around mazes and things. But there was a certain combination of things you could do. You could kind of walk through one of the walls and you would actually see created by, and I think the initials. I don't remember if it showed the whole name.
No,
or
it was
initials.
The whole name.
Was it the whole name? Because like you scrolled like vertically, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but that was a big deal at the time because Atari was kind of infamous for not really giving the game designers any credit. Which certainly isn't the case now in games, right? Like, some of our game designers have turned into, like, celebrities, right? Like, remember, like, Cliffy B and Gears of War and all that stuff? And, you know, some of our Sid Meier, like, I'll play anything with his name on it, right? You know, it's kind of – it's almost like with movies, like a Spielberg movie.
Hideo Kojima.
Sure. So, anyway, but back in the day, Atari was, like, very big on – they didn't put, like, you – it was an Atari. They were paying you to make a game for them. So – and this is why many people left Atari – for a rival company that was making games for Atari, but a different, game maker named Activision at the time. And believe it or not, there was a point in time, Loki, when Activision was like the more progressive, cool, you want to be there company in video games because they would credit their designers in the manual and, they were putting things out like David Crane's Pitfall, and things like that. So
now the only credits they care about, the ones that you pay for with real world money to buy in-game loot.
Let's see. Bobby Blackwolf points out Tom Clancy, famed game designer. Sometimes the source material, the author, James Bond, his name shows up in a lot of games too, right? GoldenEye, 007.
Yeah, he did have them. They did some PlayStation 2 games.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the only one that people really loved was GoldenEye, but anyway. Easter eggs. What are some of your favorite little hidden things in games?
I remember the old Apogee games they used to have on the designers' birthdays and during certain holidays. I think April Fool's Day was also, they would kind of do an alternate version of the theme song for, like, during the credits roll, and it would be like them singing it almost, but really terribly. And then they would have, like, there was one of the games I played that they had, like, lizards and stuff replacing the spaceships and, like, silly things like that.
I remember talking about Apogee made me think of like all those shareware games back in the day. And one of the biggest shareware games out there was Doom. And I think it was in Doom 2, there was a secret room you could go in and like the creator's head was on a pike in one of the rooms. Remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of, heads popping up, Mortal Kombat That was like, or Mortal Kombat 2 specifically, that was one of the most infamous ones, right? When you would, you know, do the uppercuts. And like once in a blue moon, the little guy would come out of the corner, toasty, right?
Isn't
remember
that? Ed Boon?
It was Ed Boon.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like, it was one of those things that everybody would be like, I swear I saw it. Like, I swear this thing happened. Or it because you know why I think that kind of happened was because with Street Fighter, do you remember like everybody was like, there's the move in Street Fighter where, like, you can handcuff somebody to you if you're Guile. Remember how, like, every kid was convinced that was a thing?
I remember.
In reality, that was not a thing unless – I think there was, like, a Chinese bootleg hack that I think had a sprite motion that looked like that. So it's like either the kid was making it up or they had a friend that played the Chinese bootleg, which is probably also explains the red fireball in the early editions of – Street Fighter. Obviously, they made that canon.
The Black Belt edition, all the knockoffs. They had all the bootlegs.
But I think that's funny that like Mortal Kombat did the very intentional, like, you know, toasty thing in it, as well as Pong showed up in the arcade, right? If you played like, what, 250 times or something, it's a lot of quarters, you would get Pong that would show up. And I think that was in the Super Nintendo version as well. I don't remember. It's been a long time. I don't think I ever sat down with the game long enough to unlock it. That takes a lot of work. But that was a thing that you could do. Let's see, looking in chat, Bobby Blackwolf says the SimCopter Easter egg. Oh, I do remember this one being pretty infamous, but I don't remember the story off the top of my head. So now he's making me go to the wiki to look it up.
It's a lot of,
was it the gay sex one? That was SimCopter? I thought that was SimTower.
SimCopter.
Oh, okay. Why did I think it was SimTower? It's close. Okay, so see, okay, so that, okay, well then, no, how have I never seen that one? I knew of that. The game, it was discovered that designer Jacques Servin inserted an Easter egg that generated shirtless himbos, male bimbos. That's a new term I've learned today, too, a himbo. You ever heard that? A himbo in Speedo trunks who hugged and kissed each other and appeared in great numbers on certain dates, such as Friday the 13th. Their fluorescent nipples were drawn with a special rendering module, usually reserved for fog-piercing runway landing lights, so they could easily be seen from long distances in bad weather. The egg caused hundreds of himbos to swarm and crowd around the helicopter, where they would be slashed up by the blades and then need to be airlifted to the hospital, which earned the player easy money. The egg was caught shortly after release and removed from future copies of the game. Well, you know what? Jacques Servin, wherever you are, you're the MVP of the week. I need to go look that one up on YouTube or something. That sounds amazing.
That's hilarious.
I knew that was a thing, but I thought that was in Sim Tower for some reason. But I mean, there were like a million Sim games at the time, right? Because one Sim City did really well. Not only did we get Sim Earth, but we got
Sim Ant.
Sim Ant. That was an underrated classic, though. Sim Ant was badass. But anyway, I'm curious what other games that guy made. I don't think it sounds like he doesn't really make. No, he's a former Maxis employee, and that's really the only he started a bulletin board called RT Mark. That's really all the other things I noticed that are mentioned there. Interesting. So Bobby Blackwolf is asking, were their nipples ray traced? Well, we didn't have the technology then, but maybe
we
in the
do
future.
Now.
Maybe in the future. Stay tuned, everybody.
We have the technology. We can remake it.
All right, what other Easter eggs do you remember? Actually, there's a new one, isn't there? This is back in the news today specifically, right? Because there's a brand new one that was just admitted to by the developers of Spider-Man, right?
Yes, and it was that if you were to play the game on certain holidays, any Jewish holiday, you would find that there would be Orthodox Jews appearing, like some of the citizen models or whatever.
Wasn't it the reverse that they don't appear on those days because they're staying at home? That's why nobody figured this out, is because it wasn't about what you do see. It was about what you don't see. And so the little Easter egg is that those NPCs are nowhere to be found on those religious holidays because the what's being inferred
that's
is
stupid.
That they're staying. What do you mean that's stupid?
I don't know.
Wow, that's a lot of
that's not as so much an Easter egg. That's like detail. That's unnecessary detail, like horse testicle shrinking.
Fine,
yeah.
Fine. You want himbos with fluorescent nipples getting chopped
that
up?
That would be more interesting than. Honestly, nowadays I would expect that to be a title of a game that's on the Steam storefront. You know,
what, himbos,
fluorescent himbos being chopped up by rotor blades.
You want that on the dream game list? You want to see if YYR's played as full this month?
Let's not. That's Steam store fodder right there.
It's honestly, Loki, it probably already exists, to be fair.
It does. There's SimCopter, apparently.
Let's see. SSG100 Matt is saying, still trying to track down Stephanie Fargo from SimCity Action News. Yes, the CD-ROM remake that came later on. What about other Easter eggs? Any others that like you remember? I seem to think that the little letter that you dipped in water in Star Tropics, in some ways,
it's
I kind
not
of,
really an Easter
kinda,
egg though.
Like, I kind of put it in the same category though, because it was like one of those things that, like, jumped off the screen. But I guess you're right; it's not exactly hidden.
Yeah,
but it was kind of one of those like, oh, it's different, or it's like, oh, only certain people know how to do it, you know, type of thing. Because not everybody put that together either, especially if you rented the game, you couldn't.
Yes, I know. I know. I bought my news at a flea market, so I was unable to do that. I was like, I don't know what the code is. Nintendo Hotline, what's the code? They're all, you dipped the layer in the water. I bought it used. Fine, code 747.
I know.
Like, thank you. I'm paying by the minute here. Come on.
It's like an airplane. 747. Done. Anyway.
I don't know. Like, there's, like, Driver 3, I know, had, they did a parody of the character from Vice City in there because they thought their game was cooler than Grand Theft Auto, even though it's garbage, but they had that.
Would you consider cheat codes Easter eggs? Yeah, like, you know, IQQD, things like that back in the day. Obviously, those don't exist anymore because, you know, they sell them all. But back in the day when you would type them in, or as somebody in chat said when we first started the segment, up, up, down, down, left, right, BA, start. I mean, the infamous Konami code is an Easter egg of sorts.
Well, they had the Pac-Man level in Wolfenstein 3D.
Oh, I don't remember that.
It was a bonus level.
I don't even remember that.
The ghosts, you couldn't kill them.
Oh, interesting.
But you had to collect, you know...
I remember you can make your own levels.
Money, but yeah, they had Pac-Man ghosts in there, and you couldn't kill them. They would kick your ass pretty fast.
Interesting. Pixel Pacas is bringing up the cow level in Diablo 2. That's a pretty infamous one. In fact, they had to go to such lengths to say in Diablo 3 there was no cow level. But then they did some type of cow event later on, and they still had like a rainbow. They have Whimsydale and Whimsyshire, and you know they kind of did a similar thing in Diablo 3. So anyway, Easter eggs, they're fun. Tweet us some of your favorites over at OLR. But I thought, what better day to talk about Easter eggs than on Easter?
All right. Well, here's one actually. Okay. There was that, it sucks that they patched it out too. On the Switch, there was the whole thing where you could play golf, or they think they called it like flog or whatever,
where
you had to do the gesture on the certain day to unlock it.
It was like Iwata's birthday or something, wasn't it? Yeah. And you had to do
the Nintendo
gesture.
Direct
gesture. Oh, that's a brilliant, like a system based Easter egg.
Yeah.
That's a good one. This isn't so much a system-based Easter egg, but you remember, like, if you take your Castlevania Symphony of the Night CD and you put it in a regular CD player, like, the first track would just be blank. Like, those PlayStation discs, somehow they
don't mean... Well, sometimes...
The second track would play.
Unless you had a CD player that was really old and didn't understand that was a data thing, then it would just sound like crap. But yeah, you had that. That was kind of cool. Or wasn't there something you could do the, like, Nintendo 64 logo or something, or GameCube logo? Wasn't there something like you could hold a button and it did something weird or something, play different sounds?
Yes, you could. I think with the other controller or something, you move it around, it plays different sounds, something like that. Anyway, we'll close on this one, though, because this is a great one. Bobby Blackwolf says, how about a Namco collection that had OLR in the game high scores? Yeah, yes, you're right. OLR is an Easter egg.
And also, there is the game.
That's when we peaked, quite
frankly.
There
was a PlayStation 2 or 3 game called Apuna that had
it's a Wii game. Yeah. It's a very that reference was much more subtle. It was our old orange logo. But our names aren't in it. But in this it's the Namco collection on PlayStation 3, and it's the digital one. It has Dragon Spirit, I think Dig Dug and Pac-Man. So it has like a collection of like 5 Namco games. And when you first boot it up, it shows like now you can compete with your friends. But if you actually look at the scoreboard, it actually shows like OLR, and then I think it actually says Sky, Loki, Dark Soccer. It like actually says the names yes. on the high scoreboard. So that is a great Easter egg. I think that's a good one to close on. So that's fantastic. All right, well, let's move on to our gaming weeks and the types of video games that we've been playing this week, whether they be Namco or otherwise.
I didn't play a whole lot of stuff this week. We went to Chuck E. Cheese for like an hour earlier this week. So I played the, was it Luigi's Mansion arcade game? So that was all right. I don't know. It's okay. And then what else? I played a little bit of Borderlands Game of the Year Edition. Didn't really play it very long because it's still crashing on me. Even though I tried like walking back some of the stuff I did to it. And then, what else? Pokemon Go. I did a little bit more Labo VR. I put together the elephant thing and tried out that. They have like this like marble maze thing that's, it's all right. And then the drawing was kind of neat, but not very accurate because it's hard to tell depth-wise where you are. But, I mean, it's a neat like proof of concept, I guess. And then what else? That's pretty much it. Yeah.
Okay. My gaming week was a little dialed back because there was a lot going on this week. I hosted shows both Friday and Saturday night, so pretty much this weekend has all been doing hosting gigs. But I did play some games earlier in the week. I have been playing Pokemon Go. I mean, while I walk to these things like an old town and stuff, I'm playing Pokemon Go. So I caught one of the blue shell Shuckles.
Those are so useless. I mean, not the shinies, but like the Shuckles are just useless. Like
their defense is surprisingly strong for the CP they have, but I wouldn't exactly consider them like great gym defenders. But their CP is deceptively like understates how good defenders they are. But it's not like again because
do they evolve
you're
into anything later on? Is it?
I don't remember if they do in future gens or not. Mm. So yeah, the Shuckles themselves are not exactly the most useful Pokemon in the world, but I think the blue ones look cool. So, you know, that's all going on. I just got a push notification too that said it's only, what, like 4 more hours and that whole thing. So yeah, you better get one. I still don't have a pink bunny though. I've been looking for those too.
I didn't get anything.
But yeah, I've been doing that with Pokemon Go, of course. And then as far as like the more traditional games, I've been still playing some Beat Saber. It's a good way to get a little bit of a workout midweek. Especially if I don't get to the gym in a particular day. Good way to kind of make sure I'm still getting some cardio in a little bit. And then I've been also playing Final Fantasy XIV still. I kind of went back. Like, remember I was on WoW for a little bit?
Yeah.
I kind of went back to Final Fantasy XIV at this point. And now I have all of my healers at max level. So Astrologian, White Mage, and as of today, Scholar are all at level 70. So I did that. And I've also been playing Borderlands Game of the Year. I haven't played as much this week as I did like in previous weeks just because I have had the other stuff going on. But I did clear a few more quests. I'm up to level 18, I think. So I'm still got a ways to go. But I'm really slow. I take my time. Everything respawns. So I have to kill everything again. You know, it's like it's kind of a chore every time I sign into the game. It's
you
like
can teleport, you know, between different locations, right?
Well, every time I go to one of those teleporters, it only offers me the DLC areas. It doesn't allow me to teleport to something within the same map, unless that's an ability you get later on or something. I don't know.
I think you can do it once you get more than one of those.
I'm pretty sure I've visited at least like 4 or 5, and I don't have the ability to teleport between them. Maybe something opens up in the story like after I just haven't opened it up yet.
Maybe.
Like, I've been doing every – like, there's a boss very clearly that I need to be killing, but I've been doing, like, every side quest that keeps popping up first.
Yeah, I was – Sledge, I think, is who
Sledge is who I need to go kill.
Yeah.
But I've been doing all these, like, I just did this arena quest.
I had to do, like, was it, they're one of the side quests is to get the sniper rifle pieces or whatever. So I went to go collect those, and one of the markers was in the middle of the air. And I actually did collect it. It was in a different spot. The piece was in a different spot, but the marker's still there, and it won't go away. So, obviously, the quest is bugged. Thank goodness. So I'm going to have to do something else or else it's just never going to get unbugged, I guess. I don't know.
All right.
Or maybe I'll find the pieces somewhere else.
Well, otherwise, that's been pretty much it for my gaming week otherwise. So nothing new this week yet, but maybe next week I'll be able to change that a little bit. So because next week will be a little less crazy. I only have one show to host next week. But everything's been going great in that department. I really can't complain. So. Anyhow, let's move on and get into tonight's news stories. Again, if you want to participate along with our show, head on over to our chat, twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. If you're listening out there on our podcast feed, because we are available in lots of popular podcasting apps, including the iTunes Store and the Google Play Store, you can always send us an email if you want to participate after the fact. participate@orangeloungeradio.com, or you can always tweet us at twitter.com/OLR. Let's get into some gaming news. For a holiday week, there's in which most people have been on spring break. There's been a lot of news this week. I would have going into this week, I figured it would be a pretty dead week, but we got some pretty big things this week, right?
Yeah. So Mark Cerny sat down with Wired and did an interview about the PlayStation 5 or whatever we're going to call it, the next PlayStation, basically.
Which is how are they not going to call it PlayStation 5? That would be so
weird. How are they
going to
call the Xbox 360 successor the Xbox One? Because that made no sense.
I guess.
Whatever. You know, I don't give a shit. I think they should be PlayStation 5, but whatever. It's just a name. Anyway, so they were talking about like some of the features that it's going to have. They said that it's going to basically be backwards compatible to PlayStation 4. It's going to have a solid state drive. You know, they were talking a little bit about the actual specs of the console. It's going to be based on the Ryzen chipset, so third generation, based on their 7-nanometer Zen 2 microarchitecture. They have a GPU that's based off the NVIDIA Navi family, and it will support ray tracing. And also, they're going to use that ability to kind of track light or track basically beams to also enhance sound design as well, so that's kind of cool. They were saying that it's going to support the up to 8K resolution, and that
which TVs don't even really do yet, right?
Right.
We just kind of assume it's coming.
Also, that the VR is apparently pretty important to them, and it will support the original PlayStation VR. I assume that they're going to have their own VR thing that would come out along with it as well.
Why? Why not just the same VR headset?
Because I think that by then you're going to have a VR headset that's going to be able to take in, because the resolution on the headset's not that great. And so I would think that they would want to bump that up.
Comparatively not that great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I would think that they would want to bump that up. Plus, I'm assuming that, you know, while that they may support the PlayStation Move controllers, those things are a few generations old already, that they're probably going to be coming out with something different.
I don't know. I don't know if I would bank on that so much. I
would.
I was very pleased to hear that they were planning to support. Like, that was kind of the most, considering most of this news is basically spec porn, which is fine. You know, people want
to
know.
And to my point, you know, I made earlier, is that I don't necessarily trust anything that they're telling me right now, because you may remember that, like, a while back when they were talking about the PlayStation 3 and what it could do, and they're touting that all games on the console are going to run at 1080p and it's going to be at 120 frames per second. We know that wasn't the case. Like, a lot of games barely got up to that 1080p mark. A lot of them ran at 720 or upscale or whatever to 1080, and nothing ran at 120 frames per second.
Look, I get it. I get it. It's at the end of the day, and we've been saying this forever on this show, right? A system is only as good as the games that are on it. We've been saying that for years and years on this show, and nothing is going to change here. And it even, you know, and if you want to compare it to the PlayStation 3, you know, look at the games that they announced when they announced the PlayStation 3. Sure, they're announcing all this cool shit, and then they come out on stage.
Give me Ridge Racer, goddammit. I need a new Ridge Racer.
You're going to fight giant enemy crabs with historical accuracy in this. And everybody,
I want ray-traced Ridge Racer cars.
People weren't really looking at these games going like, oh, I mean, so, you know, obviously there's exceptions to every rule, because I know there's going to be that person in chat going, well, I thought Ridge Racer was awesome. Fine, but, you know, obviously the marketplace as a whole kind of rejected it in the beginning, and it wasn't until later on when Sony started getting things like Little Big Planet and then some of these other big things that they're really known for now at this point, like Uncharted and you know, Last of Us and things like that, that came along later on, where the PlayStation 3 really started to leave its mark. So my point is, this spec porn is great, but I will agree that with your reservation, Loki, about, you know, sure, it says it does all this, you know, 8K, ray tracing, all that stuff. For me, it's not so much about, like, I don't believe it'll do it, although I think your reservation is fine. It's just like, okay, show me. Show me what that looks
like,
right? And,
like, really, like, let's be honest. Like, I haven't seen an 8K television, but I've seen 4K televisions, and they look great. What more is 8K really going to do at that point?
Here's the thing, though. You know, it's funny, because I feel like we've been saying that since forever, right? Since we saw games on Nintendo, how can games get better than this?
Well, no, I mean,
here,
like,
comes the Super Nintendo.
We're getting to the point.
How can games get better?
We're getting
than
to the point of diminishing returns. Like, on a 4K TV, you can't really see the pixels too well anymore. It's still going to be, I think that the technology, it's better to, I don't know, like, even with 8K, I think, I don't even know if that chip could drive 8K. I mean, they're saying that it can, but can it drive it actually well? I think 4K with better details, better use the extra oomph for, you know, processing more detail, not necessarily needing the resolution to be higher. I could see them maybe upscaling it to 8K or something like that, but there's no way that driving a game 60 FPS at 8K is going to be a thing that's going to happen with a Ryzen chip.
And here's the other thing, and I think this is important to say, is that to be fair, we're all talking about all this news that's come out of a discrete unveiling to one reporter from one online magazine. This was not intended to be some big curtain unveiling AAA event. So to pass judgment on the PlayStation 5 at this point is premature. I think it's fair to say that because Sony hasn't taken the opportunity to show us the games. That's not what they wanted to do with this little slip. I don't know what their intent was behind this. I don't know if this was something to kind of needle Microsoft ahead of E3. I don't know what the long-term plan was to kind of let some of this slip now to maybe not let Sony drop off the news rate. I mean, here we are talking about PlayStation, which we probably wouldn't have been otherwise.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know what the strategical maneuver was there, but the reality is we really can't judge this thing until we see some games, right? And we got to see,
right.
Okay, if it's 8K, show me, like, why 8K is going to, like, blow my fucking mind.
Well, first off, they're not going to be able to show you because no way to show you is ever going to be able to come through.
Tell me which Best Buy I'm going to have to go to.
Like, because they don't have, like, you can't. My internet is not going to handle 8K. I don't have any 4K monitor to watch that crap on. I mean, I do have a 4K TV, but, like, I just think at that point it's not going to matter. Like, you know, jumping that resolution is not going to be like, oh my God, this looks so much better. I think it's just going to be, it's going to look nice as it is. It's going to look more realistic. But I think the ray tracing would help more than the 8K is going to help. And even the ray tracing, while that may make things look more realistic, gameplay wise, it's not going to matter. And, you know, I don't know. I just want to see what they're going to do with this other than make the car shinier in Gran Turismo.
I think the solid state drive thing is worth stating. And I realize we kind of don't know. And some of you want to get way more technical on which type of solid state drive and all this other stuff. But I think at the end of the day, what they're really trying to show is, hey, we know that, like, when we talk about 8K graphics, some people are sitting there thinking about the loading times that are going to be atrocious, right?
No, not the loading times. The download size is going to be atrocious.
There is that too.
That's what's going to be the thing, because if we're talking, like, you know, what kind of media are they going to put on this thing? Where are you going to put those 8K textures? Are you going to store them on a Blu-ray disc? I don't think you're going to be able to fit them on a Blu-ray disc.
Do you think that there's probably another type of either disc or other, maybe not even a disc anymore, maybe some type of cartridge? Well, but then how would it be backwards compatible? I don't know.
It's got to have a disc drive, but, like, the thing pushing 8K, I don't think it's going to be a thing that's going to be out the gate. I don't see it as even a thing you'd want to do, because there's nothing that supports 8K right now. There's no 8K content other than your games. I don't think there's 8K TVs out there. There may be some. I don't think there's definitely not a lot of them.
YYR in chat says many current games on Xbox One X and PS4 Pro still don't run at 60 frames per second. More power should help with that. Yeah, sure. So maybe it's probably going to be less about 8K and more about smooth 4K. Like,
yeah, I would
4K.
Say smooth 4K. Let's not push 8K. Let's just make it look good on 4K, because 4K is fine. I don't think anyone's looking at 4K going, oh my God, that's so fucking ugly. I mean, no one's like this resolution.
You're
my God.
Critic sometimes, Logan.
I can see the pixels if I put my face inch from the screen. I mean, like, I don't think it's going to be an issue there. I think just getting it to run smoothly with more detail is going to make it look better than trying to push 8K.
Let's see. Mr. Rizos in chat says, also, speaking of 8K, does it really make a difference to the human eye if it's not experienced on a big screen? And some people are kind of talking about the whole fact that, you know, at a certain size, like, for instance, I have a 4K monitor, but it's only so big. Like, if that monitor were to be 8K, it's probably not going to make a difference. My eye can't see it. And maybe I think when you were kind of talking about the whole, like, how can graphics get better than they already are? And I kind of joked with you about we've been saying that forever. I think where you were kind of really going with that is that we're getting, like, closer and closer to, like, what the eye can process. Like, we're at a point where it's like you can't really move much faster. It's not going to matter. Your eye doesn't see that fast.
Yeah. And like, right now they're saying, you know, like, I was looking up. I'm like, well, how much does an 8K TV cost? $5,000.
Okay, but that okay, you know what though? But I remember back in the day when a big screen TV over 40 inches would cost that much. And it was like a projection type thing. Like the point is, the price of technology will come down. And I feel like Sony's designed this before. I feel like this is the exact same conversation we were talking about 4K in the PlayStation 4. Like I said, and fuck, this show's been around long enough. It's probably documented somewhere that like when the PlayStation 4 was coming out, we were probably saying all the same shit about 4K that, well, what's the point? Nobody's got a four screen TV. What four 4K TVs are $5,000. Nobody fucking has those in their house. Or 3D televisions are this much. Nobody has those in their house. And then sure enough, the price of that stuff always comes way down as technology advances and things get cheaper. So yes, it's $5,000 now, but this PlayStation 5 is not even going to be out until 2020 at the earliest. And then right. Even from there, you can expect that Sony's banking on a 10-year life cycle, whatever that means. But you can be assured that a part of that is most people won't get one until 2 years into it. You know, so what is that price going to look like in 4 years? It'll probably come way down. Your eye even cares. I don't know. So
I don't know. We'll have to see. I mean,
now, quickly, some folks in chat were also bringing this point up, and I do want to mention it, but also there is the sound that they were emphasizing as well. And certainly graphics isn't just the big thing, but there's also sound. I also found it was interesting that they were talking about supporting a lot of the same peripherals. So, like, if I have the Bluetooth headset for PlayStation 4, that means it should work on PlayStation 5, right? I
mean, it's Bluetooth. Why not?
Capable of delivering.
It's a Bluetooth. It's Bluetooth. It should. It's
I
just
guess
like,
so.
Just like controllers are Bluetooth, you know, so yeah. Of course it would.
Yeah. I wonder if that means they'll use the same controllers. Maybe we don't have to.
Probably. I don't see that they're going to redesign that.
Only that they've done it every single time, Loki. They've redesigned that controller. Remember six-axis? That was the must-have thing in the PlayStation 3, six-axis. And then, of course, there was the touchpad. The touchpad was new on PlayStation 4, or the share button and all that stuff. And
yeah,
you know,
the touchpad, no one really uses that.
So you think maybe they'll eliminate that in favor of something else?
I mean, they use it in some games like as a click button, but I don't think it's going to be anything like we needed the touchpad for anything.
And YYR does point out regarding Bluetooth and the controllers, the PlayStation 3 controllers were Bluetooth also, and the PlayStation 4 didn't support those. So the controller support is far from guaranteed. And I kind of tend to side on that. I think PlayStation 5 will come out with its own new controller, and we'll be lucky if it supports PlayStation 4 controller, quite frankly, or anything before.
Well, it supports PlayStation 3 controllers.
Actually, I'm gonna dial it back a little bit because since we have the backwards compatibility,
or maybe I'm thinking the PlayStation 3 supports PlayStation 4 controllers.
Yes, you are. But maybe with the backwards compatibility, maybe it will use the PlayStation 4 controllers for that. I don't know. I mean, again, this is really early on. It's one article and one preview.
I will make all my decisions now based on this very little information.
But that's
so you buying it day one for $800? Yes.
Of course, because I'm a consumer whore. Of course I am. Of course I am.
I don't know if I want to buy Sony this time around.
Oh, my.
They
show the games. They'll show Grand Theft Auto, whatever, and you'll just be like,
I'll be on both platforms.
Earth Defense Force 17. I
don't need it.
Twisted Metal.
I still haven't bought Earth Defense Force Iron Rain yet.
Oh, no. What kind of world do we live in?
Because it's $60. That game is like a $20 game. I don't want to pay $60 for that.
All right, let's move on to the types of games that you're going to be able to purchase on these platforms, because there's some talk about what's going on with the PlayStation 4 marketplace when it comes to sexy games, because I didn't even realize the PlayStation kind of had a sexy game problem. So, anyway, Sony apparently has rolled out a new set of guidelines for regulating sexually explicit content for games that are sold on the PlayStation website and the store and all that. This is all according to the Wall Street Journal. So a report done by them says that, quote, a Sony spokeswoman confirmed the company has established its own guidelines so that creators can offer well-balanced content on the platform and gaming does not inhibit the sound growth and development of young people. So apparently some folks at Sony are a little worried about the rise of sexually explicit games and this would hurt their reputation. We've had this conversation certainly before many times in the industry. For example, when Nintendo said Night Trap would never be on one of their platforms, and then didn't they just release it on Switch finally? 25 years later, I think. But
and ironically, the GameCube version of BMX Triple X was uncensored versus the Xbox.
That's right, huh?
It was either the Xbox or PlayStation version. I think it was the Xbox version that was censored.
I remember that because you owned the GameCube version of BMX Triple X. Because you're like, oh no, I need the most porny one that's out on the market.
I will not settle for just this semi-porny game. We're going to get the full... If I'm going to buy BMX Triple X, we want the full experience.
We want all three X's.
We're not going to settle for anything less than Triple X.
Anyway, apparently a big driving force of the concern is the software sold in Japan, because traditionally they've had more tolerance for near nudity and images of young women who might appear underage. And I think we've all heard of the visual novel games where, okay, these girls are supposed to be in high school, so they're only like 16. And yes, this is why these games sometimes don't come
out. They're all of consenting age.
Anyway, you may not actually want to say that. Let's see.
They're cartoon characters. They have no age.
And also, I guess part of what's playing into this, streaming platforms like Twitch and YouTube, so these games that are coming out in Japan with these kind of questionable things are being played where, you know, again, it's more like the globalization basically of the market, really. You know, it used to be easier and easier to keep the Japan games in Japan and keep the U.S. games here, but because of the YouTube, because of the internet, it's the internet's fault, now it's so easy for us to see these Japanese games and talk about them, and so maybe some of these... what's okay here doesn't fly so well here, and they're worried about the reputation here. So anyway.
Oh my God, think of the children.
Yeah. Now, isn't this interesting? Because Nintendo has told the Wall Street Journal that sexually explicit games can be sold on the Switch as long as they receive a rating from a national agency like the Entertainment Software Rating Board. Nobody has yet to release an AO game, at least on the console front. You know, I realize there's some minor exceptions. What with Oblivion having its, you
the
know,
3DS rating. have had a lot of.
You guys know that generally these games are not sold on consoles if they're AO. We know that, but M rating games, you can have some sexual content and get away with it.
Well, so. There's all the Senran Kagura stuff that you know,
no
big titty, you know, ninja girls. Who, you know, are very put in certain situations. Lots of foam and phallic things in their mouth, yeah.
All right, anyway, so apparently it's been noted. Let's see, last October, the publisher Xseed mentioned that Senran Kagura Burst Renewal would be delayed on PlayStation 4 because they had to remove the intimacy mode because of the platform holder.
As I just talked, yes. Senran Kagura, that's you know, it. The game that was appropriate for the 3DS, but not the PlayStation 4.
And then later, Japanese game studio Light said that a PlayStation 4 port of the 2017 visual novel Silverio Trinity was waiting on approval from Sony. In a quote from one of the representatives, right now Sony seems to be moving towards disallowing ports of ages 18 and up titles worldwide. And this game is ages 18 and up, so it's being subjected to a very strict inspection, and we're getting all these questions. Isn't this interesting how now Nintendo is the porny platform of choice all these years later?
Who would have thought Nintendo would be progressive?
Let's be real, it's really the PC at the end of the day. Anyway... I don't know. I understand, especially when it comes to like some of the age things. I understand why Sony does not want to be associated with that. So, you know, I get some of their reservations and concern. Loco Poco in our chat points out visual novels with the 600-year-old dragon that looks and acts 8 years old. That is a trope, isn't it? Let's see. Bobby Blackwolf points out, I think Devil May Cry 5 had some J.J. Abrams lens flares and cutscenes.
I was looking in the article, actually. They did show it side-by-side between the Japanese version, which showed, oh my God, a woman's butt. And, you know, they had to cover it up with a lens flare in the North American version because, God forbid, it'll corrupt somebody if they see a woman's butt.
Well, how old was a woman supposed to be? Because
I think it was an actual adult.
Then a butt's a butt. Whatever. But I'm like, if it was like a, you know, somebody that kind of looked and acted like a 16-year-old girl, then, yeah, you need
this
to
coming not. From. This is pretty rich coming from a company who's one of their mainline character franchises has sex mini games in it with naked tittied women. You know,
oh, God of War.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm surprised that, you know, that now they're like, wait, we must take the high road here. This is naughty. Why do we have this on our platform? I mean, Shame on you guys for putting this kind of crap on here. My God, who cares? It's just, it's a goddamn game. You have age restrictions. You have parental controls. What's the fucking problem? I don't understand.
Let's move on. We've got more controversy. Bonds 006 says, tonight's tea is hot. Oh, we're not done yet. Let's get into another controversy, shall we, Loki?
Yes, let's talk about using emulators for your console, your classic consoles.
So, wouldn't be the first time.
Yes, so Capcom, and yeah, it isn't the first time because, you know, the PlayStation Classic did use an emulator that was publicly available out there. The difference here, though, is the Capcom Home Arcade, which is this ginormous plug-and-play fighting stick that's shaped like the Capcom logo. It uses the emulator FB Alpha, which is an arcade emulator. And apparently, though, originally FB Alpha, I guess, is based a little bit off of MAME and some other stuff. But FB Alpha, while it being open sourced, it's distributed under a license that strictly prohibits it being used in commercial applications for profit. But they're fucking doing it anyways, because what are they going to do? Like, fight them about it? So apparently, you know, Amazon is selling, or they're selling this already for 199 euro, or $260. And yeah, and they're just doing this right now. Apparently some people that are on the development team for FB Alpha, which I guess is one guy, Barry Harris, he tweeted that FB Alpha has been licensed by Capcom Home Arcade. But then there's other developers as well. This guy, IQ132, says, I'm strongly against the camp on this as well. I am very against someone profiting off my work, unless it's me, of course. I've never accepted payment for my emulation work, and I'm considering pulling all of my code I wrote and ported for FBA. This would effectively make it make FBA back to just a CPS and Neo Geo emulator.
Okay, here's the thing. I'm not really interested in this thing. For one, I'm going to be honest. This thing is just fucking ugly. Like, it is like that gigantic Capcom logo. It's not cute. Like, it's not a good looking piece of hardware. And they want way too much money for it. Way too much money for it. I understand, you know, it's nicely made. It's arcade quality materials. And that's why they've got to charge a little more for it. Not my cup of tea, quite frankly. However, that being said, Loki, a lot of people have got to be thinking this. Somebody's got to say it, even though I know y'all aren't going to like it. I know you're not going to like it, but I'm still going to say it. Like, surely somebody sees the irony in people that are developing an emulator getting upset that, you know, their code is getting used for a different type of purpose. Meaning, what were the emulators designed to do? To play these games. And sure, of course, we all own the boards, and this is just about preserving the boards. That's our sole reason for doing this, 100% across. We're just, you know, we all have copies of these boards in our basement. We're just trying to, yeah, sure. This has nothing to do with trying to get everybody out there playing these games and those sorts of things. Well, you've got to see some irony in this.
Okay, I'll see the irony, but then if Capcom's basically saying, buy this, and this isn't necessarily Capcom, this is Koch Media doing this, so if, let's just assume for the argument's sake that Capcom said, we are okay with using this emulator because people steal our ROMs, you know, to play them through the emulator. We think it's okay that we're doing this. Then that's fine. Then if that's the agreement, then you cannot fucking be mad at me if I play your stupid ROMs. Then you argument done. We'll allow this to happen, but then you got to allow it to happen the other way. You can't bitch that people are playing your games illegally if you're doing illegal acts as well. It's a wash then. But that's not what's going to happen, of course.
Of course not what's going to happen. And here's the thing too. Here's the things that are really dicey, because to be fair, you mentioned as part of this, Capcom did license the emulator, but...
Well, they licensed the ROMs.
But due to the open source nature of the emulator, you have all of these contributors to it. So some people that have worked very hard on volunteering and contributing to this emulator now feel like their work is being profited off of.
Which it is.
And so forth. So they're feeling pretty salty about it, like that guy that said the comment that he's thinking about pulling out. But to be fair, Capcom tried to license from the entity. That is a part of this as well, right?
Well,
so Capcom isn't just stealing it.
Tried to license it, but yeah. So, and apparently they've gotten permission from somebody, but, you know, maybe that somebody wasn't the person that actually owns this, since it's a group of people doing it. So you need kind of everybody's permission to do it.
I honestly kind of feel like at the end of the day, like, this is just a harsh reality of playing in the emulator game.
Well, MAME's open source, and MAME can be used for commercial purposes, so why don't they just use MAME? Oh, it's because it's not as good as this other one, is what it is. I don't know. Whatever. I'm not going to buy it anyways, so no big deal.
Let's see. Going to chat, DJ Rama S says, here's the million-dollar question. How long before this Capcom arcade stick is hacked? Before the sentence left your mouth.
It's running a commercially, or it's running an openly available, yes, it'll be hacked immediately. There is no way, it's using an emulator that it's obviously running off of just the straight ROMs. I'd be curious, though, if these ROM dumps are going to be any better than the ROM dumps that they have already, since they would be done by Capcom, I'd assume. Well, I don't know. You can only dump a ROM so many ways, I guess.
YYR in chat says, it's like they're finally bringing us Alien vs. Predator. What an amazing game, but it's locked behind having to buy this huge, ugly thing and keep it in my house. Sell the collection on consoles and I'll buy it. You know, and honestly, at the end of the day, despite everything else I've said, and you know, maybe playing devil's advocate, I suppose, on this a little bit, even though nobody asked me to, but I'm a gamer. At the end of the day, I'm kind of with you. Like, the reality is, I'm not paying that much money for that. And I'm pointing at Loki's laptop because he's got a picture of it up on his laptop right now.
I can tell you
it's ugly. It is ugly.
And that doesn't cost $260 to make.
No, of course it doesn't.
No, it's wood. I wouldn't be surprised, actually. That's wood. I'd be surprised. If that's
but
plastic,
I'm with YYR. If they were to release this collection for, I don't know, $30 or something, I don't know, on a console, then I would be much more open to picking it up. Because the collection of games is pretty good. You've got things like Mega Man Power Battle in there, although I think that was in a recent collection, wasn't it? But anyway, but there's other, you know, variety of different fighting games and stuff in here. It's a pretty decent collection, but not for $260. So.
And I like this last comment, though, that out of the community that's around FBA. So they were saying that, you know, it's bad enough with the shady use of FBA. They didn't have to make the product hideous on top.
Tiger Claw is asking an interesting question. I'm not sure we would know the answer, but it's worth repeating. The Alien versus Predator game, don't they need to get the license for that, given now that Alien and Predator are owned by Disney? Perhaps there was something written into the agreement that maybe some other gaming companies didn't think of. Maybe, and I don't know, I'm just theorizing, maybe Capcom had something written into their agreement that, like, when they made the game, they have the rights to it and to keep putting out that game for so many years that they would not have to, despite whoever owns it. I don't know. That's just my thought, is like what might maybe it's their agreement just being different, that they're allowed to do that without having to go back to Disney and try to get money. But if they did have to go to Disney and Disney wanted money, that would explain why this thing's $260. Maybe. I don't know.
It's just not worth it for that price.
It isn't.
$260 for how many games?
Yeah. Emulator controversy aside, it's just not, like, no. That's a no from me, dog. Like, that's what it is at the end of the day. It's just not like something I desire at all.
Like, how many games here? So, like, 16 games?
16 games.
No.
Well, okay. Why am I that guy tonight? I'm being that guy tonight. To be fair, they sell those things at Walmart that are like these type of cabinets, the you know, tabletop cabinets that are a replica of the old arcade machines, and they want what, like $200 for those, and there's maybe four games in them. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, those, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
I mean, those are only like four games. They want $200 for those. Granted, there's a TV in them or some type of display.
There's a monitor in there.
A full, you know, a nice looking set with that. But, I mean, talk about value. You don't get a lot of games for that either. But I guess maybe that's more about the presentation. Those look nice. This gigantic Capcom logo looks really bad. It's just Arcade 1-Up. Thank you, Bobby. That is the name of that. All right, let's move on, shall we? Maybe to something less controversial? Ha, ha, ha. Nope, still more controversy. Super Smash Brothers got updated this week. Big new update in Super Smash Brothers because Joker is now not the Batman guy, but the Persona guy is now an official DLC character in the game. And the other big thing that people are talking about is the stage builder. So you can now create your own stages, which is basically like it looks. I admittedly have not had the time to play around with it, but the things I'm seeing, it's like, oh, it's like Mario Paint, but you're painting stages.
It's like Little Big Planet, sort of.
Okay, but obviously, if you allow people to paint whatever they want, people are painting things like dicks, boobies, Princess Peach, Spread Eagle, things like that. These are the types of levels that people were making within seconds, right? So now Nintendo has a content.
I almost
moderation
forgot
problem.
That the Wii version had a stage builder as well. Remember that?
Yeah, it did. Yeah. Because you couldn't share them as easily on that one.
Yeah, you had to use codes or something.
Yeah, well, and I don't even know if that really worked on the Wii one, like that, if it was easy sharing.
Oh, we had to, it was a website, I remember now, because I made a question block one, and it had to go to, some site to get it.
So, anyhow, of course, Nintendo has been, removing these, but it's also led to some controversy because there's been some things that were, a little more, I was reading something about that somebody had made a stage out of a trans flag and it got pulled for being political. I'm hoping that's just a one-off and not some type of direction. Well, of course, and what the response was. Now there's 5,000 of those stages that are out there on the
It's like
platform.
Nintendo's never been to YouTube before.
Or it's like Nintendo has never dealt with online before. Honestly, in my honest opinion, they should just, and this is not going to be the popular, they should just not have the public-facing thing. Just leave it so that you can see what your friends make and you can use codes to get whatever stages you want. Just get rid of the public-facing store. It's not going to do you any favors. Just get rid of it.
There's no way. I mean, I think that the trans stuff, they're probably just catching it based off of the name. There's no way a person's going to be able to go through all of this stuff and actually view these.
Right. Or that there's going to be any sort of, consistency between it. Because I really hope something like the flag thing getting taken down is just because somebody with an itchy trigger finger didn't know what they were doing, basically. That, unfortunately, that's the one that gets reported and now, gets run everywhere on the internet. Because, it's... It's just a flag. It's not offensive. So, but anyway.
But it's, with the dick levels, those are pretty funny. I've seen some because you can make stuff move around.
Oh,
so
God,
of course,
did you see the one that one of my friends made? One of my friends made a goat's eye level. And the little. I don't want to get banned from Twitch.
No, let's talk about it. Come on.
The arms, as they do in the picture, will kind of expand and collapse, and the rest
that's
of
hilarious.
Things will expand and collapse with it, and that's
but
all
the,
I'm going
the
to
question,
say.
The question, though, is the butthole like
if Pikachu
lava?
Were the stage, what would happen? No, I'm kidding. I'm not doing that.
But you know how they have the hazards? They actually have lava or whatever is the hazard. Was the butthole a hazard? Because I need to know.
I don't know. I told him to delete his account, and then I moved on to the next post. As you do on the internet, Loki.
That's awesome.
Dark Tetsuya in chat says, I know they were trying to police the level gallery. S200 Matt says, there were some very elaborate stick figure fornication stages going on. And the internet ruined everything. Yes, the internet tends to do that. The internet completely ruined everything.
This is
everything.
A complete shock to no one.
On a related note, but a little more wholesome, the Switch got a firmware update right around the same time. So even if you aren't a Smash person or have zero interest in these stage builder stages, which quite frankly, I don't blame you, but the Switch firmware got an update to 8.0. And it sounds like a lot of bug fixes and things like that, but there are some new icons. So Splatoon 2 and Yoshi Crafted World have some new icons. There's the way you view the news, a way to transfer your save data. There's a zoom feature that's on. That's kind of neat because that's an accessibility thing if you think about it. So it's pretty cool. You can prevent the system from waking up when the AC adapter is disconnected. I guess it's probably a battery saver type of thing. And then there's a VR mode restriction in parental controls. So if you are afraid that VR will warp your children's eyes, you can disable it.
I've actually played, because they do have that in, ironically enough, in the Labo VR, where you can disable VR for anyone under 7. And so what it does instead is you actually have a separate thing you build for the screen that just, it's basically kind of like an AR camera type thing. So it's, you don't put the actual goggles on, but it still shows you kind of an image of what you're seeing, so you can still play all the games without it, you know, being right up against your face. And I'm assuming that's what it is as well. So it's kind of neat that they're going to have that. So I would assume that other things will work without the VR stuff.
All right. Well, there you go. So you can update your Switch firmware, even though, you know, the zoom feature might be kind of neat to play with, especially maybe you'd want to zoom in on things in some of these custom stages. I don't know. But anyway.
Actually, to that note, because I was just trying to make sure it wasn't in our show roll. So I know for a fact that the speaking of not needing VR, the VR stages that they're doing for the Super Mario Galaxy will not require VR as well. So you can play that without the VR mode on there. I still think the Zelda thing does require VR, though, because it's just making the game 3D. So what would be the point if it wasn't VR? Just look the same. So that'll be a thing. But we'll find out next week or later this week.
Yeah, it's pretty soon. It's coming out.
So
yeah.
I'll have to check it out and see how it is.
I'm tempted.
So then I'll have Zelda.
I'm actually kind of tempted to get the Nintendo VR thing. Like, I never thought I would say that, but I that Labo, the stuff that comes with that, there's so much. I'm actually so impressed, and the fact that they're going back and updating these other games, and even if they're silly things, they're just silly things,
and they're fun to build. But like, here's the weird thing: like, I saw someone actually playing somehow, and I was trying to figure it out because I saw it on my phone that they streamed themselves playing one of the Labo games. Now, I could tell that they weren't in VR mode for it, but somehow they were getting the video capture out of it. Because I don't think you can play it docked when you're doing the Labo stuff, unless you can. I don't know, because that would be odd that you have somehow shoved the dock in there and you're like holding the dock while tilting everything around. I mean, I don't think that would work, but I don't know.
There's probably some way to split the signal that's not being thought of. Yeah, I don't know.
Without hacking the system. Yeah.
Or maybe it is hacking the system. Who knows? Yeah. But anyway. All right, well, let's move on. I think we've talked Sony, we've talked Nintendo. Let's not leave anybody out, right?
Let's talk Microsoft. Now, I know this is going to sound a lot like kind of just talking about the same stuff we talked about last week, but it's basically just confirming all the things were rumored last week.
Confirmations are important, as are pricing and like the official details, yeah. Right?
So they did confirm during their Inside Xbox video that they are going to be doing that Game Pass Ultimate. It is going to be $15 a month, and it's going to be out apparently later this year. They didn't say if they're going to offer a better deal for annual subscription, because apparently you could sub them by month, I guess, for $60 a year anyways, or it says that both subs separately can be $60 for a year. So
yeah, and like, what do we do? Like, I already have Xbox Live on a yearly thing right now. Like, what's my incentive to jump in and get Game Pass?
I would think that they would need to offer a discount for something.
I would
like
think that. So too. So we didn't really get the full scope of that, but you know, it's still a start in kind of bringing these things together in one price for everything.
Then of course they announced the all digital version of the Xbox One S is going to have a 1 terabyte hard drive. It'll be priced for $250.
I'm sorry, but the acronym is so great. The Xbox One S all digital. The Xbox One
sad.
Wow. Wow, Microsoft.
Maybe
it was intentional. Maybe it's kind of funny.
It's going to be $50 less than the standard Xbox One S. And right now they're saying the game's going to come with 3 games, just like we had originally said. Minecraft Sea of Thieves and Forza Horizon 3 are going to be pre-installed. And then they're also going to have apparently trials to Game Pass and Gold, which I think. Or they're saying a trial for Game Pass and Gold for like $1, but that's currently what's available for anybody. So that's not really an exclusive thing for anybody that buys this, but whatever. Yeah, they said option of paying $1 for 3 month subscription to Xbox Game Pass. you can do that anyways.
Here's the thing. I don't want to sound anti-Microsoft because I'm really not. There's a lot of things I'm really rooting for out of Xbox.
Oh, and it's coming out May 7th.
I'm probably more excited to see what they're going to unveil pretty soon for the future than probably anybody else, because I do think Microsoft's going to go in a different direction. All that being said, I think this is a miss because the price isn't low enough. It's $50 less than what's out there, which means you can get a used Xbox One regular thingy out there probably for cheaper if you just walk into a used game store.
I was at the game store the other day, yesterday actually, and they had Xbox. I was even like joking about that. Like, it's like, why would I buy this new all digital system when I can buy a used system and these games and get it even cheaper? Or you don't even have to purchase the games. You just subscribe to, you know, the Xbox Game Pass for 3 months and you get them anyways. Like, yeah, what's the point?
I really think they should have just bundled in a year. Like, they should have write it off to move some consoles.
No games. Like, I don't even know how much those games would be, the value of those games, but like, no games in a year of Game Pass or something like that, because they can say you get 200, you know, games in your library.
Bingo.
And it's all those games were included anyways.
Bingo.
So like, yeah, pre-owned Xbox One consoles, $149.99.
Now, they are pre-owned, of course, which has a certain... But, I mean, I really feel like the fact that they couldn't get this down to $199 is the most sad thing about it, unfortunately. So, I mean, the Xbox One is a fine console, you know, and obviously some of the things they're bundling in there, especially things like Forza 3 was a fantastic game. Minecraft is, you know, obviously a must. Sea of Thieves is pretty cool. Like, you know, I understand they're trying to bundle them in and give some exclusives. It's they didn't get the price low enough.
And to be fair, like a 1 terabyte console, if we're going to, you know, tip for tat, $199.
So, yeah, no, it's a bummer they couldn't get it lower. But at the same time, it's not like this is a make or break console for Microsoft. This is very much a bridge, and probably what's going to end up being a very short bridge into June and the major hype that's about to begin for whatever Microsoft has next, whether they make this holiday or they're targeting, I think would be more likely March next year might be something they're targeting. So they're going to get a little jump on next year, but not a big one. That's my guess anyway. They'll put it in the fiscal year, but they're not going to put it the holiday, because the Nintendo Switch and so many other things in gaming have shown that the holiday calendar is no longer like the definitive guide to a game release schedule that it used to be. So I would say Microsoft's going to show something in June that they're going to put out in March, and that's going to be far more exciting than this bridge system to close out this era of the Xbox.
Yeah, I don't know. I would say hold off on getting anything. Honestly, if you're going to, at this point, just might as well wait until the next generation or buy used. I mean, if you really, really want to get in on that, I mean, honestly, this isn't interesting to me at all. I mean, I'm just going to play stuff on my PC because I get the Xbox games I want on there, all the first party stuff. So I wish they had Game Pass on my PC so I could run all those Xbox One games on there, but, you know, they don't have that yet. And I'm not getting anything less than an Xbox One X, and it would be pointless for me to get it now because anything I'd probably plan there would be multi-platform anyways, and I already own it.
Well, Johnny Wufei in our chat kind of echoing some of this here, saying, I haven't had much of a use for it since I can play the Xbox One games on PC. And Bobby says, well, Microsoft says the Xbox is a platform and not necessarily a console. You know, not to build the hype too much, we have one more little bit about E3 for Microsoft, right?
Because yeah.
I want to bridge into this. So tell us what to expect for
E3. So E3, they're going to be doing their Xbox conference on June 9th. At 1 p.m., so that's going to be, is that a Sunday? Let's see. I got to look at my calendar here. June 9th is a Sunday, so Sunday at 1.
That's going to be a big day for OLR.
Yeah, and so
and Bobby.
They're going to be doing something. It's this, you know, the same day as Bethesda. I think that was the same as last year as well.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so that's going to be, they're going to make their announcements then. So we'll have to wait and see what they announce.
Do not forget, y'all, one of the biggest news stories that came out of this previous E3, just how many game studios Microsoft has working for them right now. I don't want to set the bar too high, but I'm full. You know, Microsoft is going into this E3 essentially uncontested. I mean, you could say Nintendo's going to be doing their thing, but Microsoft and Nintendo are now
kind of buddy-buddy.
Yeah, they're kind of like winking at each other. You know that they're hooking up on the side. You know it. You know they fucking.
We got. There's so many fan wank ideas out there, and it's like.
So here's the thing is that.
Oh my God! What if Reggie's going to Microsoft?
No,
woo!
No. Take that out of the universe and put it back in your mouth. He is not going to Microsoft. He's taking a well-earned fucking vacation. Which, by the way, he's on Twitter now. Did you notice that?
I did.
Yeah, that's
fine. I'm following him.
So anyway, I'm fully expecting we're going to get it in E3 where we're just going to have game pow game pow game pow. I think we're going to have a
Nintendo partnership pow.
I don't know if I go that far, but I mean I don't know.
Would be pretty awesome.
I don't want to get into that kind of fan wank here on OLR, but I mean certainly people are thinking
the new powered Switch
Game Pass on the Switch, something like that. I mean, you know, even something like Rare Replay coming to the Switch would be like a huge deal. And Cuphead just came out on the Switch this week. I know that's a game a lot of people have been playing, so who knows. But anyway, that all kind of ties back into what Bobby said, where like Xbox is more of a service if you think about it that way. So it's like, you know, even though we keep talking about next console, there's a very distinct possibility Microsoft could be coming out to this E3 to say, all right, we're here to show off what our game developers are making, and we've got a lot. So it's gonna be interesting. I'm very excited for June. Mr. Rizos in our chat says, agreed with Rob. If Microsoft doesn't come to E3 with a load of games, it's going to be a miss. Bobby says, game. No sports, no TV, game. Akuma JP in chat says, developers. Yes, except this time, they're all Microsoft developers, essentially. All right, anyhow. Let's move on and talk about retro. Why not? We're talking about all the modern consoles. Let's talk about retro consoles because everything retro is new again. The Sega Genesis Mini. I know some of y'all are excited about that. Well, some more titles are coming to the Sega Genesis Mini or the Mega Drive Mini, depending on where you live. 10 more were announced, and that's going to be Thunder Force 3, Super Fantasy Zone, Musha, World of Illusion, starring Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck.
I'm surprised about that one.
Yeah, Streets of Rage 2, The Hybrid Front, Landstalker, Contra Hardcore, Dyna Brothers 2, and Game no Kanzume Otokyo. So those were only Japan titles over there. So the U.S., I guess, is getting different games. Oh, yes. No, they did announce the U.S. differences. So U.S. is also going to get Castle of Illusion. Let me just start the list over. God, it's like completely different. Good Lord. Earthworm Jim, Sonic the Hedgehog 2, Castle of Illusion, World of Illusion, Contra Hardcore, Streets of Rage 2, Thunder Force 3, Super Fantasy Zone, Shinobi 3, and Landstalker. So, I mean, as far as like definitive Genesis game collections go, this is
good.
Shaping up pretty good. You know what they need? They need the Lion King and Aladdin and those other. Why not? If they got Castle of Illusion, why not go in on those other Disney Genesis games?
Disney Capcom games.
Yeah. Why not Jurassic Park on the Genesis too? Shoot. So here we go again with how did they get the licenses for those things back where they can put out a Mickey Mouse game? Either they worked out a deal with Disney or it's part of the original agreement that they get to put out as many rehashes of the same game as they want. But remember, if I remember right, the Castle of Illusion got an HD retreatment at one point on the 360, and they already, well, and PlayStation 3, and I think at that time. So they already worked out all those arrangements at one point. So, anyway. Bobby does point out the downside for me on the Sega Classic, all the games I want to play, I already have on the Xbox 360 Sonic's Ultimate Genesis Collection. True. YYR follows that up with the same question I would have asked, but do you still have your 360 hooked up? At the moment, I don't. Well, at some point, it's not going to matter if your console's hooked up because Xbox is a service. But we're not talking about Xbox anyway. This is about the Sega Genesis Mini. Does this sound like something you might be interested in picking up?
Maybe. I mean, I have the this SNES Classic, which I don't play very much or at all. So I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah. I will see what I'll see with the retail release kind of full thing. All the games and how much they want for it and all that good stuff.
I just need to get better setup for all that stuff, because right now it's just kind of sitting next to my TV. It's not hooked up. I need to hook it up to my actual like monitors that I use my computer on to, I think it'd be better that way.
Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of classic games, why don't we take a moment to take a break and take a trip down memory lane with our classic game of the week. Sound good?
Yep.
All right, so we're going to open up the portal of time and take a trip down memory lane in a segment that we call the Classic Game of the Week. But as I mentioned earlier in the show, Dark Sakura, she is out of town right now, so she is unavailable today to take us into the vault for the Classic Gaming Week. But I called on one of our good pals here at Orange Lounge Radio, another host of a show here at the Voice Geeks Network of VogNetwork.com, and one of my longtime gamer buddies to help fill in the segment for tonight. Say hello, everybody, to from GameBuoy.org, Captain Spike.
Hello, hello, hello. Thank you for having me tonight, Rob.
Thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it. How are you?
You know, I am doing lovely tonight. How are you doing?
I am doing good. Did you have a good holiday?
It has been a lovely holiday weekend for me. How about yourself?
Good. Of course, I'm talking about Easter. I wouldn't be talking about any other types of holidays going on this weekend. Of course. Of course.
Of course. Of course. All the children were walking in nature.
Of course. Anyway, Spike, you know the drill. So every week, Dark Sakura usually picks a game from her collection or otherwise in the past to highlight as the classic game of the week. And you know what? I know over at Game Buoy, you guys like to highlight a lot of things that might not necessarily be in the mainstream, kind of off the radar. And I know you've also played a lot of games over the years. You know a lot about your classic games, your modern games. So I wanted you to pick something for tonight. So, Spike, what do you want to highlight as the classic game of the week this week?
Oh my gosh. Well, of the three people that I told I was going to be doing this weekend, literally all three guessed what game I was going to be picking. So I bet that you probably guessed too, Rob. I'm highlighting Demon's Crest. This is a classic Super Nintendo game, Super Famicom in Japan, obviously. It was released there as Demon's Blazon. It's a spin-off of the classic Ghosts and Goblins series, as well as an indirect follow-up to the spin-offs of that series, Gargoyle's Quest and Gargoyle's Quest 2. It was released in Japan in October of 1994, in North America of November of 1994, and in the PAL regions in March of 1995. The reason why I picked this game this week in particular is because while it is my very favorite game of all time, and I think a real underappreciated gem, right this very moment in gaming where I think there's sort of this real focus on games that merge sort of classic 2D elements along with like world exploration, a lot of like Metroidvania interconnected, like environmental interactivity kind of game design elements. The thing is, all of these things are like super popular now, but Demon's Crest was doing them in 1994. So,
oh, what a hipster choice. What if my game was doing this back in 94? No, but you're right. You're right. Like, there's a lot in common with one of my favorite Super Nintendo sleeper hits, ActRaiser, right? Where you kind of go between like over the world, and then you have like side scroller elements, like, you know, it's kind of a little bit of everything.
Well, exactly. And, you know, it's funny that you bring up the ActRaiser comparison because, you know, they both very similarly for world navigation use a sort of top down style perspective, looking down on the world, using, in fact, the Super Nintendo's much vaunted Mode 7 effects to rotate, you know, like a giant sprite of the world map around you. Really to create that really cool-looking visual effect that was, I think, at the time, really unique to Super Nintendo games. I don't really think you were seeing those kinds of visual effects on any other hardware.
No, and funny enough, Mode 7 is also all over the news this week with that emulator that is, like, rendering the more HD images of the Mode 7 stuff. It's kind of neat.
I was literally just going to say that.
Oops, my bad. I'll stop stepping on your toes.
No, it's perfect. In fact, I was going to say, I would actually like to run this game in an emulator. I just thought about it while I was talking about it. Like, oh, wait, I have something exciting new to see now, because I would really like to see that world map rendered in that higher resolution and see maybe what kind of details I've been missing in one of my all-time faves. But because I'm already getting a little long in the tooth and I've literally not even described the game itself, I will note, for those of you who have played the Ghosts and Goblins, Ghouls and Ghosts, any of those games in that series, in Demon's Crest, along with Gargoyle's Quest and Gargoyle's Quest 2, you actually take control of one of those red armor enemies, you know, the flying little baddies with the gargoyle wings. And basically, you're sort of almost like the Ryu of demons. You're playing this red armor, you're named Firebrand, and you're basically just out there looking for, you know, the biggest challenge. You want to test your powers, you want to become, you know, the most powerful demon. And if you can save the world while you're doing that, awesome! Which is actually kind of like my favorite, like, anti-hero type stories, because I'm very 1990s because of when I was born. It is what it is. So following this, you basically take Firebrand on this adventure through the world to find, you know, six different magical stones that are going to combine to form, you know, the demon's crest. It's a whole thing. But the neat thing is, as you find these stones, which you would be forgiven for thinking they were the Infinity Stones from the Marvel Universe, because it's like the Time Stone, the Heaven Stone, the Earth Stone, the Air Stone. But the really neat thing is, when you get each of these stones, you actually unlock a new form for your gargoyle. So each of these forms has completely different abilities. So one of them has the ability to freely fly. One of them has a really cool tackle ability that can destroy, you know, freestanding obstacles within the world. You know, one of them can swim incredibly well and can breathe underwater, which none of the other forms can do, which enables you to explore all the underwater areas. It's just so basically this.
This was Capcom very much having a, how do we put Mega Man in this moment? No, I'm just kidding.
Well,
maybe.
Exactly. And I was actually going to note, you know, a lot of the people who worked on this game did, in fact, work on the Mega Man revitalization of Mega Man X. So when you look at the staff listing of Mega Man X and compare it to Demon's Crest, you see a lot of names in common among the two, and this really does feel like almost the Mega Man X version of a Ghosts and Goblins game. So it becomes this very challenging Metroidvania-style almost maze where there's just tons of like hidden stuff and optional things that if you really just want to like beat the game, you can actually play this game through in like 2 hours and 30 minutes. But if you want to find everything and unlock like the most ultimate gargoyle form, then yeah, Mega Man X style, expect to do a lot of exploration, a lot of platforming, and ultimately to see some really cool hidden stuff.
So what is it about this game that makes it your fave? Because to call something, you know, your absolute fave, and you've played a lot of games. I hope our listeners understand this. You've played a lot of games. What is it about this one, especially when you consider that the critical reaction, I mean, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a 40 in Famitsu either. You know, what is it about this game really that makes it yours, your fave?
Well, I'm sorry it wasn't a 40 in Famitsu. Not every game can be Nintendogs. But that game got a 40 in Famitsu, and I bring that up every time.
I know, I did. It's A plus shade. It's great.
I will say, I actually am Team Famitsu on the Nintendogs thing. It's just convenient shade. Yeah. When they gave Nintendogs that A, they basically said it was the best virtual pet simulator they could imagine. I can't really disagree with that at the time.
Okay, but Demon's Crest.
Okay, sorry. The thing is, with Demon's Crest, first, I think it has some of the most interesting sprite work I've ever seen. The sprite work in this game, it's very detailed, but it's in that like Super Nintendo, Capcom, high detail type, so it's all very like textured and gritty and dark. Lots of really interesting uses of the Super Nintendo's color palette to really sort of sell this like brooding dark gothic fantasy. And the thing is, when you say brooding dark gothic fantasy, that is literally my exact jam.
It really is.
Right? And then you marry, you know, this game has like a ton of like really challenging, giant, beautifully animated boss encounters. This soundtrack is just this like really low-key, atmospheric, creepy, like Japanese Malice Mizer, like Visual K, goth rock type atmosphere. For me, if you were to ask me to design my ideal game, I would say, oh, why don't you take Castlevania Symphony of the Night, fill it with more demons and spooky shit, make it a much harder game, and give me a more fun upgrade system. And that's what this game is to me. Symphony of the Night, but better. And that's why it's my favorite.
Except it was before most of those things you mentioned, which made it, like, hipster and awesome.
Well, and that's actually the thing, is, you know, people will often say to me, like, oh, yeah, you know, after Symphony of the Night, like, what's my next step? I'm like, no, actually, you have to take a few steps back. And that's actually also why I always try to call attention to this game. You know, it's been it's gotten virtual console releases on the Wii U and the Nintendo 3DS, which is delightful, obviously. It is still on the market. You can still access it. But I'm also always trying to raise hell about this game, pun fully intended, because I would really, really like it if this could get back on somebody's radar over at Capcom. So, you know, wink, wink.
So for all those hundreds of people at Capcom that are listening right now, but in all seriousness, like, how can somebody revisit this game legally? Like, I guess you can find the Super Nintendo cartridge. It was on the Wii Virtual Console, right? Is there any other, like, collections or anything?
Well, yeah, as I just noted, it was re-released on the Wii U Virtual Console, and it was re-released on the 3DS Virtual Console.
Got it.
But unfortunately, I think that's only on the new 3DS that you can do the Super Nintendo games.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot it was on the...
Well, I think we all kind of forget that the 3DS can do that in the first place. So right now, this is, I think, kind of a harder title to play legitimately, but it's one that is absolutely worth it. The easiest way, probably the Wii U Virtual Console. Second easiest, probably the 3DS Virtual Console. And there's not really a third way presently.
All right, well, there it is. Your classic game of the week, Demon's Crest. Great choice. Underrated soundtrack. All those things you already mentioned. It's great. Before we get back to the live show tonight, Spike, I know you co-host a show with our pal Slidekick called GameBuoy.org Video Game Podcast.
Video Game Podcast.
And you've been on a little bit of a hiatus, but you're kind of like, you're back. You're like back and bigger and better than ever, right? Tell us a little bit about GameBuoy.
That's correct. In fact, we'll be recording an episode either later today or tomorrow night. But GameBuoy is your... sort of weekly. We're still working out our schedule, but we are your port of call for gaming news and views that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be. And what that means in practical terms is we like to take games and news stories that we think maybe aren't getting enough attention or getting enough light, or viewpoints, you know, alternative takes that we are just maybe not seeing get enough light. And we sort of try to shine a light on those things and, you know, just sort of make the gaming space a little more equitable for everybody. And ideally, you know, just maybe talk about some serious issues while enjoying our weird hipster games.
I love it. Great pitch, and it's a great show. I highly recommend it, and I'm not just saying that because you guys are my buddies, but that's part of it too, for sure.
Well, thanks for that. I do truly appreciate your support. We wouldn't even do what we do if not for Orange Lounge Radio. Y'all really inspired us and made our lives better.
Oh, stop. Thank you so much. That's the ultimate compliment. So, well, Spike, thank you for being on Orange Lounge Radio tonight and highlighting one of your faves here for the Classic Game of the Week. I know Dark Sakura would be very proud. And best of luck with everything over at GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. Have a happy Easter. And to the OL Army, I love y'all. I hope to see y'all over on the SS Buoy. And thank you for having me.
All right, thanks again very much to Spike for helping out with the Classic Game of the Week while Dark Sakura was unavailable. I was hoping to bring in some more guests. I know it's fun when you and I get to do it, but it's also really fun to let some of our friends of the show do that. So obviously we don't like not having Jamie here, but, you know, it's breaks and vacations, those types of things are going to happen. So big thanks to Captain Spike over at GameBuoy for stepping in with a game that I've known Spike for some time, over 10 years, probably much longer, and I I already knew Demon's Crest was one of his favorite games. I was just more surprised Jamie had never picked that one herself, quite frankly. But that's a, it's a good pick. It's a very good pick. And one of those games that wasn't like super well reviewed when it came out, as we kind of addressed there in the clip. But, you know, definitely has things that, you know, feel influential in games that were after it. It was really, you know, a whole package of a game. And I noticed in our chat, She-Hulk says, looks fun. I'm sold on it. And yeah, I think Spike would be very happy to hear that. That's your soul on that. So, all right, well, let's get back into some rapid fire news and talk about some other news going around the industry this week.
Yes, and as alluded to in the classic game segment, there is a brand new mod for BSNES that allows HD Mode 7. So it actually improves the quality of Mode 7 up to 4 times horizontally and vertically.
Which we referenced in the bit there, because Demon's Crest used that, yeah.
And it looks quite good. So they have several comparison screenshots, you know, showing everything from, you know, Pilot Wing, Super Mario Kart, F-Zero, and just the difference is pretty crazy. So
yeah, over at our Discord, cheap plug for vognetwork.com/discord, some folks had posted articles about it, and I was looking at some of the screenshots that they were posting too. It just was like, yeah, the F-Zero one you've got up right now, the F-Zero, my gosh, it looks great. I mean, for a Super Nintendo game, I mean, it's not suddenly like gonna make it 8K, but it's, you know, it's like, wow, you really see the difference.
Yeah, so I mean, it does look quite a bit different, especially with like Mario Kart, where the whole game was pretty much just Mode 7. It does look pretty nice. So you can go check that out. They had a link on the emulator or emulation subreddit on Reddit there. So I'm sure you can find it or Google, you know, and check it out. Yeah, BSNES version 107.1, beta 1, the HD Mode 7. So looks cool. And then another game that might benefit from enhanced resolution. Minecraft, still no 4K output for it, or you know, HDer version with better lighting and stuff. But we're going to be getting that movie at some point soon. So March 4th, 2022, Warner Brothers and Mojang will release Minecraft the Movie. They said it's about a teenage girl and her unlikely group of adventurers.
Oh, so it's not even Steve.
Yes, it's after the malevolent Ender Dragon sets out on a path of destruction. They must save their beautiful, blocky overworld.
Hmm.
And unfortunately, I know that they've had a change of director and writers on this. So
yeah, things changed hands a few times at this point.
Yeah, so we'll have to see what it's like when it comes out.
Well, moving on to other news happening around the world. Mortal Kombat 11 is out. Is that this week or next?
It's
out
next.
Yes, it's pretty soon, though. And I think early retail copies...
I'm sorry, this week. This coming week. Yes.
This coming week. So, but the retail copies are already making their way out there. So, of course, you know, early copies are leaking and so forth. And apparently what happened is that the Switch version of Mortal Kombat 11, apparently the Switch version, some data miners went to town on the Switch version. And guess what? Figured out all the DLC characters already. So not only did we get the whole roster spoiled for us, but now we know all the DLC characters. So at your own risk,
allegedly,
allegedly, but like, I don't like, this is a pretty solid way of doing it. So anyway, if you don't want to spoil yourself, just mute for about 30 seconds. I am going to read the list here real quick. The list includes Shang Tsung, Joker. I'm assuming that's Batman.
Probably
Joker.
Not Persona 5
Probably
Joker.
Probably not Persona 5 Joker. Nightwolf, Sindel, Terminator, that's pretty rad. Spawn, Ash, that's very rad. Fujin and Shiva, so not to be found. Melina, unfortunately, it looks like Melina really, really is dead, so she won't be coming back. But that's pretty cool about Fujin. I don't think he's been in a game since like what? Well, Mortal Kombat Annihilation. I think everybody was in that, but like I don't remember him since 4. He was the Air God, like Raiden's the Thunder God. So yeah, so very, very interesting.
Ash is awesome.
Yeah, heck yeah. So. All right. Well, we'll see. We'll see if that holds true or not. It's going to be interesting to see how they respond to it. Anyway, also something to talk about is the upcoming Final Fantasy concert, specifically a Final Fantasy VII concert. This Final Fantasy VII official concert, a symphonic reunion, is going to take place on June 9th in L.A. what else is happening right around that time frame in LA that a lot of people will be there for in the game industry? Oh, yes, E3. So it's happening during E3. Okay, or right around. Well, June 9th is the same day as
Bethesda Microsoft. And Microsoft.
Yeah, so basically this is happening the same time as Bethesda's conference. And you know what's funny? I remember at my very first E3, my very first one, Jason, who does our voiceovers here, and he's a great guy who's helps out so much behind the scenes here at OLR, him and I went to the first Dear Friends, like the first Final Fantasy concert that was at the Walt Disney Symphonic thing. That was the first E3 we went to. So that was a while ago. It's probably about 15 years ago at this point. So it's kind of interesting they're doing this again kind of all these years later, but this one is specifically for Final Fantasy VII. They're boasting a massive orchestra, over 100 musicians, HD video projection of all the games. Arnie Roth is conducting, which I remember he did the one like 15 years ago. So he's still doing it. So that's great. They're going to be doing, tickets are on sale now if it's not already sold out, but they went on sale yesterday. And get this, they start at $77.77. Get it? Because it's Final Fantasy VII. Woo. Anyway, if you're going to be in LA and want to check out that concert, I'm sure a lot of people will be wanting to go to that. It'll be interesting to see if maybe any CDs or other types of official soundtracks, digital soundtrack, if nothing else, on Spotify, Apple Music, things like that, makes its way out there. It'll be pretty cool. So,
yeah.
All right, let's travel around the world and check out some video games that are going to be coming a little sooner than the Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Well, this week we've got Dragon's Dogma Dark Arisen on the Nintendo Switch. Mortal Kombat 11 on PC, Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. A game called Citus Alpha on Nintendo Switch. Imperator Rome, it looks like. That's going to be on PC. SteamWorld Quest Hand of Gilgamesh on the Nintendo Switch. And Umihara Kawase Fresh, that's also on Switch. Box Boy and Box Girl, that's on Switch. Days Gone on PlayStation 4. Oh, hey, finally that's coming out.
Yeah.
Finally, check one off the list of games that they show us at every E3. That's finally making its way out. That's out on PlayStation 4. And last but not least, Super Meat Boy Forever on PC, Linux, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, iOS, and Android. No Mac.
What do you think? Speaking of games they show us every E3, what did you think about that? And again, this buzz, rumor, people on the internet speculating. What do you think about all that talk that Death Stranding might actually end up a PlayStation 5 thing at this point?
I don't think it'll end up on PlayStation 5.
We'll see. I had to ask. Sorry.
I mean, it'll be disappointing if it is.
All right, let's move on and take a look at Japanese releases, then I'll have Loki take care of Europe. So over in Japan this week, several games still coming out this week, even though I think Golden Week is next cycle, but we still maybe trying to get all the games out before then. Eve Rebirth Terror is out this week in a regular limited edition on the PlayStation 4. The Starlink Starter Edition, yeah, is finally coming out in Japan on the PlayStation 4. I didn't realize they had to wait for it, but I guess they did. Maybe they're just taking all the unsold ones here and putting them out in Japan. I don't know. Anyway, that's not what they're doing. It's localized, I'm sure. Satsujin Tante Jack the Ripper comes out in Japan this week as well. And guess what? Days Gone is the same date that we get it, as well as, I believe, Europe. That is also out this week in Japan. So if you're looking forward to Days Gone over there, this is your chance. I should also mention the Nintendo Switch releases this week, because they have some big stuff on Japan this week. Actually, quite a bit. Wow. Citus Alpha is out this week. Starlink Battle for Atlas, also in Japan this week. Sword Art Online Hollow Realization, a deluxe edition with supporting several different languages, is out this week in Japan on the Switch. Dragon's Dogma Dark Arisen, and probably the biggest title here, the Final Fantasy XII Zodiac Age Switch release is out this week in Japan. So that is on April the 25th. Also, that Jack the Ripper game I referenced a moment ago, also out this week. There's a new Yu-Gi-Oh! Game, Legacy of the Duelist, Link Evolution. Konami's still putting out Yu-Gi-Oh! Games, so that's out in Japan as well as this week. And if you need something maybe a little less stressful, Pixel Puzzle Pack 3-in-1 from Rainy Frog is out this week. So there you go. That's what Japan looks like. How about Europe?
Europe, we have Mortal Kombat 11 on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. The Wizards on PlayStation 4, Bomber Crew on PlayStation 4 and Switch, Dragon Marked for Death on the Switch, and Days Gone on PlayStation 4.
All right. So pretty busy week, especially with the always rumored, always speculated Days Gone. I mean, you know, it's obviously we knew they were actually making it, but it's like, well, it's finally here. Finally.
Yeah, and actually, I'm sorry to correct myself, because I just assumed that it was out at the same time.
Yeah.
Mortal Kombat 11 is only on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One next week. The Switch version doesn't come out until May 9th.
Is that a Europe thing?
That's a Europe thing.
Hmm. Interesting. I wonder what...
I don't
know why. Nintendo... I wasn't kidding earlier. Nintendo really does hate you guys. I'm sorry. All right. Anyway. Oh, I wonder what that's about. All right. Akuma JP is confirming, because I know he's over in Japan, Golden Week. We have 10 days holiday this year. So, yeah, all these games are coming out. And it's kind of like Christmas for us, in a way. You got all these holidays back to back to back. So, what's happened? It's like they're getting all the games out before everybody's going to be home for an extended period of time.
Yeah.
So, it makes sense. All right. Anyway, let's go to the emails. Every week, you guys email us, participate at orangeloungeradio.com, and we read our favorite emails and respond to them here live on the air. So again, if you want to email us, participate at orangeloungeradio.com. And we actually have quite a few emails this week. Well, three. That's a lot for us. So we're going to
get... Better than none.
That's right. It's better than none. So it means you all get spared a week of Drag Race talk. And I had a lot I could have talked about this week. But nope, we're going to go to emails.
I appreciate it.
So you could, Loki can start by thanking Robert M. for this first email, who says, I just got to the part of my music library with Anamanaguchi, the chiptune artist, right?
You know yes.
And thought the title Airbrushed, RAC Remix, looked familiar, but couldn't place it until I actually heard it. I instantly recognized it from when I tried out Little Big Planet Racing. Sony really hasn't done much with the character Sackboy, who raises the question, who's your favorite video game character who is fundamentally designed to be a blank slate? Well, that's a tricky question. The only other example I can come up with is Steve from Minecraft. Does his name still use the question mark? I prefer to keep it to myself. I assume Commander Shepard from Mass Effect is too much his own personality to fit the concept. And I would correct you, because for some people, Commander Shepard is very much her. So I think Shepard works as a blank slate character, so to speak. It just depends. I think it kind of depends what you mean by blank slate. Like, do you mean a character that you're really kind of designing to be your own, or do you just mean a character that you can kind of, like, paint up and costumize and all these sorts of things? So, that is from Robert M.
Well, mine, it would have to be, well, it depends on which game you're referring to, because in the earlier games, he was the player, but then in the later games, he's the boss, so Saints Row.
Bobby Blackwolf called it in chat. There is Saints Row for you, of course.
Yes, of course.
Favorite blank slate character. I don't know. I mean,
it really, it's Troy Baker. He's my favorite blank slate character.
I play so many MMOs. I kind of feel like the generic MMO archetype is kind of like my favorite blank slate character. Like, I do really like the characters that I roll in different MMOs, both World of Warcraft, Final Fantasy 14, 11. You name it. Like, I've always enjoyed MMO characters. I mean, I'm not really the type to go and write a backstory to my character and all that, but some people do that and, you know, really get into it. And that's a really big blank slate for some people is MMOs. Anything else that comes to mind, Loki?
I guess the Dragonborn, you know, Skyrim.
Skyrim. Okay. Yeah. Funny. I was going to read some answers from chat, and Akuma JP suggested Elder Scrolls. Akuma JP also said Fable. That's a good answer.
Yeah, that's a good
Fable
one.
Fable was, you know, kind of, you know, infamous for that, especially when we got into Fable 2, especially in 3. And then, let's see, Questbuster says any RPG where you make your own character. To be fair, there are a ton, I mean, so many RPGs where you make the hero yourself in your own making. Johnny Wufei suggests Dark Souls. So for some people that like those insane difficulty type of games, yes, certainly. So, yeah, those are some good answers, guys. So there you go. Thanks for the email. Next email from Redertainment. Hello, peoples. By the way, I love this because the subject is weird shit you've seen at a con. So we know where this is going, right? So okay. Here we go from Redertainment. Hello, peoples. I'm currently at FanX Salt Lake Comic Convention, which is what they call it now that San Diego has apparently gotten the trademark on a common term. Well, they can't stop me from saying it, so I'll say Comic-Con Salt Lake City. Or is that what they call Salt Lake Comic-Con? That's what they used to call it. But okay. I've been passing by a booth on the vendor floor all day, which is selling something that I've never seen in real life, much less on sale in the real world. This makes me wonder, what's the weirdest fucking thing you've seen at a convention? Can you top a wide selection of waifu pillowcases? And we got a picture to go along with it of, I think if I just, doing the technology, sorry, and unfortunately I can't show it. It's a very low resolution image anyway. But you can see there's all these pillowcases that just have, you know, waifu maids costumes, cat girl costumes, and everything you would expect.
It's not that weird.
I know, I'm kind of like, that's kind of normal. But yeah, if you don't go to conventions a lot, you probably don't see that sort of thing. They sell, I think, BioWare might even officially be doing it. There's like a Garrus one now. Because you know that got posted to Jamie's Facebook wall like five
times.
Yes,
I saw that, yeah.
So it's not just waifu.
I mean, I thought, like, if you're saying weird stuff, I thought you were going to have, like, dragon dildos or something like that. You know, that's kind of weird. But even that's not that weird anymore.
I thought, because I laughed when I first saw this for the first time. I want to say it was at PAX, actually, is I saw those mouse pads. But the part, the wrist rest part,
oh,
are
boobie
boots.
The
mouse pads.
Those are awesome.
And I think those are commonplace now. But the first time I ever saw one of those was at a convention. And what's funny, now where I think it's funny, now obviously it's a lot of the same waifu stereotypes that you see like on those mouse pads. But now you're starting to see really funny shit. I've seen a Deadpool one where it's Deadpool boobs.
That's awesome.
And then I saw one not that long ago online somewhere where somebody took Reaper from Overwatch and made a mouse pad with Reaper, but with the giant cleavage. And that's the stuff I think is funny, is when you take those sorts of stereotypes and apply them to characters that were not meant to be stereotyped in that way, but that's what makes them funny. So, I mean, well, Deadpool is
I don't know, like some of the
Reaper's funny.
Some of the early anime conventions I went to, we used to hang out with some of the artists at the artist row or whatever, and I remember talking with one of them, and we were there when they were talking about like some of the weird like requests and commissions that they got, and there was one that someone had to do a I think it was a sexy Stalin or sexy Abraham Lincoln or something like that, and that was kind of funny.
I had to pull this up because somebody in chat mentioned I think ACDEF said there's an Isabel, but instead of it being breasts, it's fruit from Animal Crossing. So it's Isabel, like holding,
at least that's wholesome.
Holding up fruit. Yeah, it's very wholesome, but it's the same idea. So instead of boobies, it's...
To get that for, like, Jamie and just wrap it up, and so she'd think that it's, like, boobs and...
Oh, that's a good idea. Shh, don't tell her. Don't tell her. We're going to do it. We're going to prank her with that gift. But she'd love it, because Animal Crossing, right?
Yeah.
Or I'm sure there's a Garrus. Is there a Garrus one? Hold on. I gotta Google that. Fill time.
All right. While you're shopping online there. Yeah, I mean, that's the only weird thing that I could think of.
No, I didn't find a Garrus boob. Just a heart-shaped mouse pad with Garrus on it. Anyway. You knew that's something I had to look for. Act Deft in chat says, those mouse pads are actually really great for your wrist. I mean, all joking aside, yes, that's the type of mouse pad I use at work. And I'm not the booby ones, but obviously just the very generic, like, Office Depot type of, like, gel pad and mouse pad type of thing. They really are great to use. So, anyway. Moving on. We got one more email tonight. Thank you very much, Redertainment, for that email. We got one more email tonight from frequent contributor YYR. Always good to hear from him. Hello, LR. Just wanted to say hello and offer my thoughts on last week's show. There was a piece of Destiny 2 news. Bungie messed up and offered some items on non-PlayStation platforms that were still supposed to be timed PlayStation exclusives. Players who obtain these items simply can't use them until the exclusiveness window closes. You suggested that players could consider filing a lawsuit over the fact that they are able to obtain items that can't be used. I feel like I didn't suggest...
No, I think we said it would be ridiculous to do that.
No, I think I said, how long until this is going to happen? Like one of those, we live in this type of society. I don't know.
But I said, you know, it's not going to probably happen.
Or
because,
I wouldn't be surprised if...
Because by the time that they do end up filing a lawsuit or it goes through, it's already going to be out and who cares?
Or who knows? Maybe I did say it. I don't know. If Bungie were to simply let players use these items, I believe that a lawsuit absolutely would happen, only it would come from Sony, who would be suing Bungie for breach of contract. I am sure they paid a pretty penny to put the PlayStation logo all over the marketing and to get that item exclusivity. You need to stop using that word in emails. I don't know why it trips me up every time. If they're
exclusivity?
Not... Exclusivity?
Exclusivity.
exclusivity. I don't know why I can't say it. What's, it's like my Achilles heel of talking. I can talk for like 10 hours a day, and I often do, but that's the one word that will like slaughter me. Anyway, that word is officially banned from emails. Don't use it. You can say exclusive window, exclusiveness, exclusive time. You can use any other combination. If they're not getting what they paid for, I'm sure they'd get their lawyers on it right away. So as stupid as it sounds that players obtain items they can't use, I believe there's a good enough reason why not. Look, it's not that I disagree with you, but the problem is here we are siding with the corporation then ultimately. And it's like, it's not that like what you're saying is wrong, but I also just kind of feel like, hello, it was a mistake. They closed up the mistake as fast as they could in good faith and stopped selling the items. Sony should, because of that reason, just let it fucking slide in good faith. Mistakes fucking happen. Do you think Sony's never made online mistakes before in their life? So that's kind of like ultimately the point I was getting at, is that, you know what? Let it fucking go. Like, just because, again, if people bought something that they ultimately can't turn around and use, that's where I kind of think people are going to be like, this is fucked up. Like, this isn't my fault. So it just kind of sucks that, like, we're siding on the side of the consumers. I'm not faulting your logic. You make a very logical argument, and it is ultimately what's probably going to persevere in this scenario. But I just feel like it's fucked up. As a gamer, don't I get to complain about things that are fucked up? All right. Anyway, moving on, because there's more to this email. So YYR continues on. I'll just mention a couple more things. First, yes, Jackal is awesome. That was last week's soundtrack of the month. My father and I both played the heck out of that on the NES. Years later, I tore through the whole thing, and I still enjoy the game today. And yes, the music is fantastic. Finally, don't worry, Buzzer is still on the air, running the same old game shows as usual. You did worry me a bit for a minute, though. They are streaming from their website 24/7 at buzzerplay.com. So try that on the web browser on your favorite devices. So, but they're done on Twitch. That's unfortunate. The thing I liked about Twitch, though, is all the portability, because I can watch that on the PlayStation 4. I can watch that on the Xbox One. I mean, sure, I could watch it in a browser window on my PC, on a tablet, on my phone. You know, I could do all those things. So, you know, I'm only losing it, I guess, on the consoles. But I thought it was kind of a fun thing to have on Twitch. I liked having something to host when literally nothing else was streaming. Like, I could always fall back on 70s game shows, and now that's gone. Oh, well. Thanks for the update, nonetheless. I'm glad the channel's still around.
I guess there's just always...
there's probably rights
Bob,
issues.
Bob Ross.
That's true. There's always Bob Ross, or the God. They're probably still running the old Pokemon. Yeah, stuff. I was also going to say, I'm sure there's probably rights issues, you know, when things, you know, if we want to get into legal talk again, there's probably rights issues, because I know Buzzer recently got like Supermarket Sweep. Well, they were never showing that on Twitch because they probably didn't have the rights to be able to do it on Twitch. I'm sure if they are just putting out there on their own site what they're putting out over the air, they're probably more allowed to do that. And so that's probably, they're probably actually able to show more game shows doing them on their own website. But I still liked it on Twitch. Anyway, that's it for now. I'll have a few announcements soon. Ooh, we always hear.
Oh, my gosh.
Enjoy hearing stuff for where we are. Hopefully it involves fluorescence and helicopters. Just kidding. I'll look forward to whatever it is. So please look forward to those. Have a great week. We sure will, YYR. Thank you for the email. And if you want to send an email in the future, you can send an email to participate at orangeloungeradio.com. Pixel Quaka says they did have a marathon of Supermarket Sweep on Twitch a while ago, I think when they got the show. Oh, I didn't realize that. YYR says, I listened to VOG Network Radio in my Xbox One browser when it existed. Yeah, Xbox One, I think, also had TuneIn, if I'm not mistaken. Because I still remember listening on my Xbox One as well. Mm. Regardless, now Twitch, obviously, I think Twitch is even easier in that capacity. But yeah, you could listen to the old Shoutcast and a lot of different things. But it's the future, y'all. So anyway, there you go. That's it for our mailbag this week. Again, we hope we get more over at participate at orangelaundry.com. Let's get to some more news stories, and then we'll see if we get any calls on Discord tonight.
So apparently there is an SNK investors event in South Korea, and the exec, I'm going to butcher this name, but it looks like Ji Zihui, had reported that they're in the planning stages for Neo Geo 2 and Neo Geo 3. Apparently that these are not going to be successors of the Neo Geo Mini that they did. Also that there's a new Metal Slug in development as well. So that's interesting that they're going to come out of the all of a sudden with new game consoles. And they're saying, what other stuff? This is like kind of translated, so I'm not really understanding a lot of it, but they're talking about like VR and blockchain or something that they're interested in as well. And
oh boy.
Everybody's interested in blockchain. Shit. Yeah, interesting though to see what comes of this. I'm surprised that they would even say a two and it, like we're developing a console and the sequel to that console. I mean,
and plus the fact that we're talking about the Neo Geo, we're not talking about something like PlayStation where you know they're already developing the next one when the one before it comes out.
Is it just everybody get into the console market nowadays? You got Atari. Whatever happened to the Atari console? Is that ever coming out?
It's probably still a thing. Well, it's kind of like in television. Like, it's quiet on that
front.
Well,
that, I thought they've announced a date.
They did, but it's in 2020. So, of course, they're not going to say anything about it until closer to next year. But I imagine Atari's probably in a similar boat, although honestly, I just feel like based on what we've heard so far, the Amico will at least kind of have that, maybe I haven't seen that before kind of factor to it. But anyway, I mean, as far as the Neo Geo goes, to me, is this more of like just banking on classics? Because SNK does really love their classics. Like when I heard like, oh, Neo Geo 2, my first thought honestly was like, it's probably like a classic console, but that they can kind of like maybe expand on with maybe some games that they never finished. Or some games that didn't come out in certain regions. Like, that. Honestly, that's what my gut kind of was like. Maybe that's what they're talking about with Neo Geo 2. Like, I just don't see SNK suddenly, like, getting back in the console business. Unless maybe it is a console developed for the Korean market or with a different market in mind, since this conference, after all, did happen in Korea.
It would be cool to see them just develop new games with,
sure,
you know, like, that old hardware.
There's a new Samurai Showdown coming out. Yeah. But it's just, you know, it's on the standard, you know, PlayStation 4 and all those consoles.
I would like to see a next-gen Metal Slug.
Yeah. So, anyway. Bobby Blackwolf points out, by the way, since we got off track a little bit there, pointing out that Intellivision has an E3 press conference this year.
Cool.
So, interesting. I imagine it's probably not on the same level as, like, what Bethesda's doing or anything. It's probably a little bit of a smaller thing, but maybe they're going to show us the first, like, game concept screenshot. That's
I don't
cool.
know what the hell Bethesda is going to show us this year.
I'm curious. Well, I meant in television.
No, I know. I know. I'm just saying, like, to be on the level of Bethesda, I don't even know what they're going to even show us this
well,
year.
Well, but we know, and the reason why I say that, I'm not trying to, like, poo-poo what Intellivision's doing, but, like, we know that, like, Bethesda, Microsoft, we're talking, like, the AAA level, huge budget games. When Intellivision has kind of come out and said, our MO is lower budget type of titles that are going to be, you know, cheaper. And so, obviously, you know, that's why I'm saying the expectation level is going to be very different between those two press conferences.
All right, we'll see.
Yeah, for sure. All right, anyhow, moving on, let's talk about Apple getting into things as well. We talked about that a few weeks ago when Apple did their big conference. They talked about how the Apple Games service is going to be coming soon, and we don't know the pricing details on that yet, but there are some rumors about how much Apple may be spending to make this happen. The Financial Times reported that Apple is apparently expected to exceed $500 million in funding for these games. But you know what? We know that Apple's done very well with a lot of the products that they have out there. And so they probably have the cash on hand to be able to do this. And in some ways, it's a risk, right? I mean, those shows on Netflix weren't made for free. Somebody had to put up the money to fund that first season of Orange is the New Black, you know? And so this is what it takes to, you know, really get your foot and to probably secure the exclusive things from studios like Mistwalker, you know, some of those other developers we talked about when we first talked about the Apple Arcade. I'm sorry, it was the actual name, not Apple Games, Apple Arcade. Let's see. So, yeah, apparently this company is all, or Apple's also going to be moving into television and films. We also knew that in the news partnerships. We know that already from the recent iOS update. Yeah, this investment is going to be apparently part of that $1 billion total that Apple's investing in the whole package, including film and TV and all that. Most of more than the 100 games that are planned for the service have budgets in the millions of dollars. That's a lot of money considering it's mobile stuff. But again, Mistwalker, you know, you got some big makers in there.
I don't know. I would just have to wait and see what they have. because I don't think
that for sure.
A lot of stuff is not very memorable. I know that they had, wasn't there a game that was from that game company or something that was supposed to be on their platforms or something like that at one time? And I don't even remember that game coming out or it being a thing. I don't know. There's a lot of stuff that they're pushing that just in that marketplace is just going to get drowned out by everything else, unless it's like a Pokemon Go or like a big AR game or something like that, you know, or even mobile games. I don't play a lot of mobile games, so I don't really know what the marketplace even
looks
like. Well,
you say that, but Pokemon Go is open on your phone right
now. It's only open so that I can auto-catch everything. So I'm not actually playing it. It's, you know, the game's playing itself. So
you're playing it. You're playing it.
It's playing itself.
Okay. But my point,
it's, and the only reason I have to keep this open is because the app is dumb and it will shut itself off if you turn the screen off.
My point is, though,
for a
My point is, though, is that I think for the games to really be successful on the mobile format, they have to be designed for a mobile format. That's why Pokemon Go does so well. It was designed completely with the mobile phone concept in mind.
But and what makes that game interesting is it's a different type of gameplay, because honestly, the AR stuff is still a bit new. And so it's different in that sense, where that makes it interesting and that's the draw to it. But like, if it's just, we're going to put a AAA game on this phone, I don't know.
Yeah, how's it going to control? How's it going to play?
Like, they have, like PUBG and, like, isn't Fortnite and stuff's on those. But, like, I
don't know. In my opinion, it's not fun to play on mobile at all. But
I don't know.
Other people play them on mobile and love them on mobile. So I don't know. Apparently, Carson Daly plays PUBG at the Emmys while he's sitting there.
Who
gives
a shit what Carson Daly does anymore?
It's one of the things I heard on
this. This isn't the 90s anymore. No one gives a fuck.
Playing PUBG or whatever. Well, he's on The Voice, which still gets a lot of ratings, believe it or not. So, but anyway, my point is, a lot of people play that on mobile. I just don't. I don't get it. Like, I cannot control a game like that. But maybe I'm just old. I don't know.
It's not that you're old. It's just that it's not. It's not as good as having physical buttons and actual controls. Like, yeah, you could do it, but there's no feedback. It's not a good way of doing control. But if you have a phone, that's kind of all you got. So, I mean, you have to work with what you have. So that's fine, but I don't prefer games on a phone. I prefer games having some sort of control method that's more traditional, but I mean, there are other games that get away with it just fine. It's just, I don't know. I just can't see what they're envisioning with this to be like so worthwhile to actually want to pay for this service. It just, it doesn't seem like it's ever going to get to that level.
Well, we have to wait and see when the actual games come out and see like how much are they going to charge for it? How many games are we talking? What do these games look like? Are they things I feel the need to play? I mean, it's just still early on, but I mean, at least it sounds like Apple is really taking the financial risk to really believe in this, so we'll see what happens.
Why can't they do that with a Mac instead? And, you know, Apple Arcade, like, focus on Mac, because Mac gaming on Mac is like
Apple Arcade will work on Mac, if I recall.
Okay, fine. Yeah, we'll see. But like I was gonna say, because gaming on Mac is kind of a, you know, sore spot right now. So,
well, and to be fair, this is Apple Arcade is trying to address that. It is going to be a Mac thing too. So
we'll see.
All right. All right. Questbuster in chat says, one thing to also keep in mind, Apple has something like $240 billion in cash on hand to burn if they want to. And that's also very true. So anyhow, let's move on. You have some other updates out of Nintendo, right?
Yes. Yeah, so there was a report out of Nikkei newspaper talking about some of future Nintendo Switch hardware and different stuff going on with that system. I know we've kind of talked about rumors that there may be some new Switch consoles coming soon. And I think that's still more along the lines of this as well. So there's a report they said out of the Wall Street Journal that is talking about a smaller, cheaper, more portable Switch model coming this fall. And of course they confirmed that as well. Nikkei saying that they're planning on putting out, or Nintendo's planning on putting out a smaller Switch that is geared towards more portable play. Curious to see how that's going to work, if that just means the screen's going to be smaller. I mean, I don't know how that's going to work with the way the Joy-Cons are set up, but okay. I mean, we'll see what happens. And then also that they are going to be releasing a more powerful Switch model that's going to come out sometime next year. and that's going to be like more of a refresh, but they're not sure what exactly the form factor is going to be or how that's going to even work. I mean, it's not unlikely for Nintendo to come out with a refresh to hardware because they do that all the time, but I don't know. It's pretty quick, I think. It's only been out for a few years. And then they also had this other device, which I was completely unaware of, apparently, that they were working on since 2014, 2015. That was going to be some sort of sleep tracking device, some wearable that they were working on to monitor your sleep. But it's on indefinite hold since 2016. And now they're saying that they're exiting the health business entirely. So they're not even going to work on it, which is fine.
I sort of feel like they missed the boat on that because so many people do sleep tracking through. I know they were supposed to be doing something that like was not something you actually wore. I don't know how that was supposed to work. I guess, you know, if we knew the device would be out. But I know so many people that use, you know, I noticed you have a Fitbit. I have Apple Watch, you know, and I don't know if you wear yours when you sleep.
I do.
But I wear mine when I sleep and I can actually see like, oh, here's how much I spin around at night or my heart rate. I don't know
how accurate some of that is, but yeah.
I think it's pretty decent because I do notice like if I let the machine at the gym monitor my heart rate and then I check out what my watch is doing, it's usually about the same. So I think the watch is measuring. I mean, I don't know Fitbit super well, but I can't imagine it's much different.
It's about the same, yeah, technology wise.
So it's, you know, measuring your heart rate and stuff. So it is kind of interesting, especially since I have been trying to get more active lately and been exercising more. It does cause your heart rate to dip more when you sleep at night, which is supposed to be one of the positive side effects of that. And I can actually see that from the sleep tracking. But anyway, my point is, I think, you know, the Apple Watch and the Fitbit and all that other universe kind of beat them to it. Like, I feel like if Nintendo were to come out now and say, we got sleep tracking, it would be like, okay, but I'm already doing that. I mean, now granted, Nintendo's was supposed to be something not wearable, but what does that mean? Like something you would put next to the mattress or something?
I don't know how you would not wear something because it's got to track your breathing and heart rate and stuff. So I don't see how they could do something not wearable.
Act Deft in chat says, remember the heart monitor from Nintendo or whatever that was called? The Wii Vitality Sensor.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was garbage.
Yeah. No, well, it never happened.
Well, then they also tried the – remember there was the – from Ubisoft. It was the – I want to say they were doing something for Relax, like Wii Relax or something like that. And – but they had some sort of vitality sensor thing with Ubisoft as well that they tried. Ubisoft went through a lot of really creative stages where they come up with stuff and then nothing ever come of it. Like, for example, they had that relaxation sensor with the breathing exercises. They had laser tag. What the fuck happened to that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, they probably just didn't sell it in the video game aisle.
It didn't sell very well at all, but yeah, that's a thing.
SJ100 Matt in chat suggests the Nintendo Switch sleep tracker was having a screen come on at 1 a.m. saying, go the fuck to sleep. Maybe if Samuel L. Jackson was doing it, it might be effective. Oh, no. All right. Moving on to more information on the Nintendo Switch. Apparently, the Nintendo Switch may finally be coming out in China, which, you know, is newsworthy because China is a pretty big market, right? There's a lot of people that live in China. But usually it takes the consoles a little while to come out in China because, you know, China has some strict regulations on, you know, what can be released there, and especially if you talk about what's been going on lately with some of the tax rules and things like that. So it can be tricky. But it should be noted, Microsoft has started selling the Xbox One there within, I think, the past year. And Sony now offers the PlayStation 4. So Nintendo should be able to offer the Switch soon. Apparently, they are teaming up with Tencent, which has been doing a lot of stuff with gaming in China, to be bringing out the Nintendo Switch there. There has been the game regulators in China have provisionally approved a trial version of New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe, which, you know, was obviously the Wii U version that came out on Switch about a month ago, maybe 2 months ago at this point. So that's pretty interesting. Nintendo did confirm to Reuters that they have applied for the approval to sell the Nintendo Switch. Of course, it is a long process, so it will probably take some time, but they are taking those steps to put out the Nintendo Switch in China. So many more of those consoles perhaps to sell. So we don't talk about the Chinese market very often, but obviously with so many people there, you know, even if a console doesn't do so hot here or in Japan, I mean, as the case of the Xbox may be, like the Xbox ain't a factor in Japan at all. But I don't know what success it's having in China, but it would be interesting. Maybe it's selling more there. If you sell enough there, it can kind of make up for some of the difference, right?
Yeah.
So, anyhow. Moving on, Loki, we're almost to our call segment if you want to get on our Discord in the green room and then mention in channel Orange Lounge Radio what it is you'd like to call in about tonight.
All right. So Ubisoft is going to be donating 500,000 euro to help rebuild the Notre Dame Cathedral after the fire that happened this week. So that's pretty awesome that they're doing that. And they said, of course, that they stand in solidarity with their fellow Parisians, or I guess that's how you say that, and everyone around the world by the devastation the fire caused. And they said it was an integral part of Paris, a city which we are deeply connected. Seeing the monument in peril like this affected us all. In light of Monday's events, we'll be donating the 500,000 euro to help with the restoration and reconstruction of the cathedral.
Okay, I was not going to be the one to correct somebody on their pronunciation, but Bobby does confirm it is what I was thinking, Parisians. Not
Parisians?
Like Persians is something very different.
No,
Parisians.
Yes, because yeah. Paris, obviously. Yeah.
Anyway.
Parisians. I thought that's how you...
That's all right. I ain't want to correct on pronunciation tonight. There's a word I completely cannot say for some reason. So,
but to go along with that, which is kind of nice, is they also have some other stuff. This is where it kind of ties in the gaming a little bit more. But apparently, they're offering a free PC copy of Assassin's Creed Unity for a limited time between April 17th and midnight of the 25th. So you have some time to actually do it. So in order to do that, if you haven't already, Ubisoft has a special link that you'd follow. So it's register.ubisoft.com/acu-notredame-giveaway/en-us.
That's a big link, so you might just want to Google it.
Just Google it. You would sign into your Ubisoft account. If you don't have one already, you would create one, and you just add it to the cart, and you get it for free. So that's pretty awesome. I did that because I do have a Uplay account for when I play South Park, so, and also Far Cry. But I have not played Assassin's Creed Unity, so it'll be interesting to check that out. And then, of course, because of this generosity from Ubisoft, people have taken to Steam to review bomb the Assassin's Creed games, but not in the way you might think. They are putting positive reviews because of that. Basically thanking them for, you know, their contribution to the repair of the cathedral, thanking Ubisoft for giving away Assassin's Creed, and thank you for, you know, Uplay's contributions and all that stuff like that. So is Steam going to be taking down those reviews? Because I know that they try to combat review bombing in the other way. I'd be curious to see how that would... Yeah. Probably be not going to do anything.
Industry,
I would
right? Rules are rules, right?
Rules are rules, yeah. But you know that's going to be bad press.
Well, maybe if the internet would stick to this type of, you know, positive review bombs. Just, you know, if you don't like something, just shut up. You can always keep your mouth shut, and you can talk about the things you do like.
There you go. Or if this is allowed, then you know what you need to do the next time. You know, you don't like a company, you review bomb their competitors, and you give them positive scores because they're not douchebags like this other guy.
Sure.
Because that apparently is allowed, and that'll...
Sure. Why don't y'all go tweet Nintendo something nice. Thank you for allowing my waifu sex games, Nintendo. You're the best, XO. Reggie forever. Why not?
Yeah. So. They don't allow Bowsette, but they'll allow their other waifu sex game.
If they are gonna positive review bomb things,
that's
if it was only that, then that's
so. I'm guessing this is
problem.
This is probably a yes, but I'm wondering how many Bowsette levels are out there in Smash Brothers. Probably.
You're saying a lot of things tonight. I just really wish you wouldn't say, and that's one of them. The other one, Reggie going to Microsoft. Yeah, no. So.
Well, I didn't mean he'd actually work for Microsoft. I mean he would just go there to kind of like introduce the partnership.
Just think it.
Think it out loud because how are they gonna pick up through the power of podcasting my thoughts if I do not speak?
Oh, because I'm sure they are all listening right now. All right, well, then they'll be excited to hear about this because I was very excited to hear about this collaboration. That's right. It's a partnership between the Tetris Company and Hello Kitty. That's right. So to kind of bring this full circle, because we talked about Tetris at the beginning, there is a tweet from the official Tetris account this week at Tetris underscore official mentioning, you love Tetris, you love Sanrio, now get ready for a brand new online game featuring both on June 3rd. For more information on the Tetris Cross Sanrio partnership, head over to Tetris.com. And yeah, so that's going to be, I guess, coming out on June 3rd online. So fun, cute, exciting.
It's unfortunate they're going with such a violent route, but crushing Hello Kitty with Tetradema.
Stop it. You will not be crushing Hello Kitty with anything. It should be noted this is timed for the 35th anniversary of Tetris and the 45th anniversary of Hello Kitty. So, I mean, and it's interesting because this article I'm looking at is suggesting, why don't they just, like, put it in Tetris 99 or something? But, you know, Tetris, like I said earlier, Tetris is kind of having a little bit of a renaissance because of things like Tetris 99. And obviously Tetris Effect was a very different way of looking at Tetris. And, you know, Tetris Hello Kitty, well, that'll be a thing, too.
Just do a new Tetris Effect level.
With Hello Kitty?
Yeah.
I'd be all about that. Why not?
I haven't played that game in a long time.
Why not? We're going to go to Listener Roundtable. So if you would like to give us a call, you can join our green room over on Discord. Or, of course, you can also just send us a message in our chat room if you have anything you'd like to ask about or what have you tonight. We can do that as well. So nobody is wanting to call in yet, but that's all right. Sometimes people are just shy or they might be watching that television show we have to worry about for about five more weeks. A lot of people.
It's also Easter too.
A lot of people say, "Oh yeah, it is Easter." I guess that's a thing. Doesn't everybody do Easter things in the morning though?
Everyone's hungover from 4:20 yesterday.
Oh, let's see. Now that I'd believe a little more. Anyway, do you have any last minute stories? We got a lot of stuff assembled for tonight's show, didn't you?
I guess. I don't know. I was. There was something I saw that Kojima was teasing some stuff about streaming. But I think it's more of just talking on the subject of like where he thinks gaming is going to go with the ad, you know, kind of the whole Stadium stuff and or Stadia, and how that might change gaming with, you know, being not really bound by console limitations.
I'm still so curious what consoles are going to do to incorporate that sort of technology.
Well, what are you talking about? Crackdown 3 has an amazing multiplayer thing where you can destroy the really crappy-looking map that they have. Because that was totally worth the power of the Xbox Cloud or whatever, Microsoft Azure Cloud. Or it was a disappointment. That's what it was. It was a EA shutting down the last-gen servers for Burnout Paradise.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that, too. That seems like a long time running for those servers, though.
Well, they've got the remaster now, so you can do that. I mean, so... Eh.
Did you ever get Dangerous Driving? I heard...
I didn't.
I forgot to pick it up yet.
I have too many games I'm playing. If I'm going to pick up a game, it's going to be probably Iron Rain, the new Earth Defense Force game. But unfortunately, I haven't been able to watch TV because now my wife's gotten into another... series. She's now watching Big Love because now we have the HBO app. It's the one about polygamy.
Yeah, that show's been off the air for
forever, but she's now picking it up.
She's got into it.
She's watching the whole series. So she's doing that. So I think at this point I just need to move my PlayStation 4 to my computer monitors because I'm never going to ever get to play anything on that.
Probably for the best. Bobby Blackwolf, by the way, points out 11 years for those Burnout Paradise servers.
That's a pretty long time.
That's impressive. That's especially when you consider it's EA. That's really impressive. Because EA, like, does that's unheard of.
So that's pretty good. What else? Witcher TV show is going to be coming out this year.
Is it this year?
Yeah.
Wow, that seems like a fast turnaround. Last call, if anyone wants to call in, or any questions in our chat.
I don't know. I have to see what else I had. I'm not really looking at my show roll stuff here.
That's all right. I know I surprised you with that because usually we have somebody waiting. Looking in chat, SJ100 Matt says, Loki's wife watches shows on a five-year delay. It happens sometimes. Sometimes I don't discover shows till way later, too.
Or, like, I don't know. Like, I picked up Hulu because she's like, there's nothing to watch on Netflix. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? There's nothing to watch on Netflix. There's a ton of shit to watch on Netflix. I don't want to watch any of that. Fine. Okay, I'll get you Hulu. We'll watch... stuff on Hulu.
So I've been paying for Netflix, and I have CBS All Access, right? Because, you know, I have to have Big Brother and Star Trek. So, and I've got to watch that new Twilight Zone. I really want to see that, too.
Yeah.
So I have those two. But now, because I have Spotify, and I actually, you know, personally, you know, they're not paying me to say this. I really enjoy that platform, and it's been great for, like, music at the gym and things like that, too. But now as a Spotify person, you get Hulu. So now I have all three.
So, yeah, Hulu, we watch mainly just, we were watching South Park. We're watching Family Guy again because I miss a lot of, well, I miss most of South Park because I haven't watched that for seasons. Family Guy is all right. So we do that. I was trying to get into Brooklyn Nine-Nine, but she doesn't want to watch that either. But now with HBO, she remembers, oh, yeah, we have HBO because we get it with our cable. And so we've been watching Game of Thrones, which we'll watch that again tonight. But I don't know. It's like I don't get – I had an opportunity to be able to – when she was tied up with Animal Crossing to actually get to play console games, and then I just didn't want to at that time. And then now that I do, oh, now she's in a new TV show. So
have you thought about getting your wife a Boobie mouse pad?
I don't know if she would want – I don't know what she's got as far as mouse pads and stuff. And she uses her laptop. So no real room for a mouse on our couch.
Yeah.
I've got a mouse pad at home, but I've got one of those gaming ones that's like super long because it was mainly just the thought originally was that everybody's going to be using that desk, not just me. And that would save because the desk isn't, it's that particle board, but it's got like that fake wood look on the outside. And so I thought, oh, the kids are going to do homework here and they're going to fuck up everything, so this is going to protect the surface of the desk. No one else uses that desk. I'm the only one that uses it because, you know, even though I built it for my wife because she wants to do work from home, she's like, I can't. I'm like, Jesus Christ, you know, I built this all for you and now no one wants to use it. So now I use it because I get a triple monitor set up. And yeah,
all right. Well, that's gonna do it. Wrapping up for the show tonight. I guess, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on out there in the world. But I hope you all had a good Easter. Thank you guys so much for tuning into the show tonight. Appreciate it. Let's go around.
Oh, I did want to mention one more thing.
Yeah, what?
I don't know if we talked about it last week, but I was gonna say that Konami revealed all the Castlevania games are in the Castlevania.
I thought this came up last week, which is why I didn't address it. But I could be wrong.
Some of them.
Yeah, all right, go ahead.
So Castlevania 2, Simon's Quest, Castlevania the Adventure, which was a Game Boy game, Castlevania 3, Dracula's Curse, Kid Dracula, which I think is the first time coming out over here, Castlevania 2, Belmont's Revenge, which is on Game Boy, Super Castlevania 4, and Castlevania Bloodlines, New Generation, Vampire Killer, which is a Mega Drive game.
I would be more impressed if they would have like taken that Wii remake they did of Castlevania Adventure and put that out. So I don't know, and I've heard that the arcade collection that came out kind of has some problems because like the arcade archives stuff is more well-rounded. It supports things like the Switch being in vertical mode. Nope, Konami Arcade thing doesn't. The Konami Arcade thing region locks the game, meaning like if you want to play the Japanese version of Gradius 2, which is very different from the American version of Gradius 2, you have to buy the Japanese collection. They don't just put both versions. And again, if you get the arcade archives one, it has all that in it.
That's stupid.
Sounds like they kind of cut some corners on the collection, so it makes me a little less excited about the Castlevania one. Who would have thought being disappointed by Konami in 2019 again? But here we are. Anyway. All right. So let's go around and get everybody's final thoughts for tonight. Dark Soccer will be back with us next week in studio. I'm sure she'd say something witty if she were here, but we'll welcome her back to the show next week. So it's just us. So thanks for being here tonight, Loki. Do you have any final thoughts for our listeners?
Not really. I've been working on my game. Not much has happened. This week I didn't get much done. I was trying to get the camera angle right because the style of game I'm doing, it's kind of weird the way I'm doing it because it doesn't really work with the style of game I'm trying to emulate. I know it's very vague, but it's hard to figure out how I need to get the camera set up to actually have enough space to do everything and to make it look right. I don't know. Anyway, I'm sure later on that makes sense. But
all right, fair enough. All right, and then my final thought, with apologies to the podcast listeners, is going to be a visual for Twitch. It's a callback to earlier in the show.
Oh yes, with the goat's ape thing.
And yes, thank you, Loki. We understood. All right,
it's for the podcast listeners.
All right, that's it, everybody. we're off for tonight. Thank you so much. Happy gaming over the next week. Have fun. Stay safe and all that good stuff. Hope you all had a good Easter. And we will be back in 7 more days to do it all again. Hope to see you then. Good night, everyone.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or Vogue Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.